Texas.com News Center. Deep behind enemy lines in occupied Texas. Broadcasting worldwide. You're listening to the voice of human resistance against the technotronic technocracy takeover. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Donald Trump is so incredibly riveting. I can't turn away. This is the ultimate reality show. He's a real president. He's surrounded by total criminals trying to kill him. He's doing the best job he can to try to turn the economy around. He made a big mistake with this Afghanistan expansion, if you believe it's really an expansion. I think the jury's out on that. But then I watched live last night that hour-plus long just volley after volley of truth against the scum, and then to watch them lie and just before the speech in Phoenix and after the speech, and just a wall of fraud. Everything they say about him is what they're doing. And it made my head spin. An example was all over the Phoenix and national news, it was bikers rally against Trump. And then they'd show shots from 300 yards away of bikers. And I went, wait, those are bikers for Trump. And then it was, but they wanted to make it look like everyone was against Trump. They are going beyond any level of lies the Soviet Union or anybody ever else. North Korean propaganda has nothing on this. That's why they said bigger crowds will be that are against him that are inside. And then a few hundred scumbags showed up. And because the cops did their job and weren't on the side of the globalists, like Charlottesville, it didn't turn into a melee. When Antifa attacked people, they got pepper sprayed. It's just crazy. I can't even respond anymore. It's just, it is a full-on, upside-down world where they're creating an entire false reality and then having, for consensus, you wonder why CNN, MSNBC, their shows have 6, 7, 8, 10 panelists on at a time, all just going, we agree, we agree, we agree, the talking points put out, and then they all just parrot in some groupthink for the weakest-minded people who tune in to somehow think this is consensus. And then you see the folks that buy the propaganda, they are the dumbest slobs, the most helpless people. And the globalists are in the WikiLeaks like spiders discussing moths or flies they've tied up in their webs. Ah, this one will be delicious. Oh, I hate the scum. They don't taste as good as they used to. I mean, it's basically like that. I have a lot of my pretties tied up, but they're starting to struggle. What do we do? We'll have them fight with each other then. I mean, it's like demon spiders talking to each other. And I'm like, God, we're ruled by this? How the hell is this happening? And then there is such a hunger. I mean, they've got a $10 million contract out, we've confirmed, to news, to pay. They pay grants to the New York Times and CNN and all these things. They pay writers to write stories lying about us. And they can't find anything. And when they make stuff up, it blows up in their face. And you realize they hate me because I see through them, you see through them, and I'm here letting you know you're not insane when you see their wall of lies. You know there's other people that recognize it as well. We have solidarity, and they want to break that off. They want you alone. They want you desperate. They want to force you through peer pressure to join their false reality. And that's in the Facebook documents that came out this year, not just the WikiLeaks. And you read this stuff, and it's like, these executives are evil. They are cold-hearted. They are beyond the gulf of this reality. They're in hell. And I don't want anything to do with these people. We have the epic excerpts. Coming up. And it's just, I can't turn away. Plus, I'm right in the middle of it. I'm like the number two enemy now. Bannon has receded. I'm definitely the number two target. And it's just, it is surreal. I mean, literal goblin creatures attacking. I mean,
crashing through the light. lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
I have made a lot of critical discoveries. You don't always get what you want, but you get what you need. Quote the Rolling Stones, and it's true. But now the tumblers are all coming into place. Everything's aligning. We know the plan. It's very, very clear. We knew that the globalist had a wicked taste. But now we see the full body of the monster we face. We can even see the ticks clinging to its hairy belly. We can smell it and hear the snort of its nostrils. And we can see the wake of death behind it. And so we steel ourselves for the fight. And the great rush of strength and commitment of our ancestors breathing life into our sails upon this sea of chaos and turmoil. As we ride the tempest and the black squall into the future. In, through, and beyond. And a lot of people are scared right now. They can feel the energy and they think it's the enemy's energy. No. It's God coming back into the world. It's light. And it's evil that's already had a long season realizing its time is short. The fear you sense is the fear that evil has in its heart. And don't let that be projected onto you. Have good cheer, my friends, and know I'll never leave you, you'll never leave me, and God will never leave any of us as long as we choose free will and choose God. We are in God's presence. We are with God and the gift of consciousness and life, and we are saved. And the enemy hates that so much and wants to convince you that they have control over you, just like Faust and his Faustian bargain that was a fraud. He could have turned back any time. But he couldn't. Because he lied to himself. So, you need to choose. Because there's now absolutely zero doubt that the world system being constructed is designed to do one thing, and that's kill your soul. One thing. And it's got to bring you down and twist you and abuse you and have you abuse others and lower you down before it tears you apart. You've got to be lowered first before you can even be on the level to have this done to you. And the gate through which you entered into this evil is people seeking power. And to not have fear and to be enlightened and be as gods and be on power trips and be so positive. But it's only the image of the universe you have in your mind, the image of God that you can begin to understand. You are not that thing that you can sense. And the devil says, oh, you are that thing. Here, I have a path for you, and you will attain it. But all you will attain is falling, not rising. How do I cover all this? The incredible, epic rampage against tyranny last night by President Trump. Beautiful. The spirit alone of defiance quenched a part of my soul that was in pain and gave me even more strength to go forward stronger. A battering ram, a signet, a figurehead. A standard. And that's why they hate him. As flawed as a man as he is, he's not out to get you. Look at these headlines. Germany, journalist gets 6 months sentence for criticizing Islam mildly and pointing out that the Muslims allied with the Nazis across the board. Now, Germany is the model of global government now, even beyond England. England has struggled out of its clutches a bit. England's bucking the peer pressure a bit because they've already been pulled halfway down the spider hole and been bit. No, it really stinks down there, and it's painful down there, and it's scary down there, and these people running things are a bunch of pedophiles, and they're not too nice, and we need to get away from these folks right now. And the Lilliputians are there trying to keep the UK tied down and to keep the Germans tied down and the Spanish tied down. Everyone else tied down as the drawbridge lays open and huge hordes of military-age men come rushing in screaming, give us the women, give us the money we were promised, because it's advertised by the UN that that's the case. This is just one article of hundreds that are all just as important. It's up on Infowars.com. Paul Joseph Watson. Thunder buckets of stupid. ESPN pulls game announcer who's been there for years, Robert Lee, because his name is too triggering, despite the fact that Robert Lee is Asian. Yes, it's a common Chinese name. Or, you know, Bruce Lee. And you say, well, this is insanity. No, it's not. It's designed to have them move the Overton window to the most extreme craziness, so you'll then accept anything. They're banning. Every couple days I see a library, a city council building, a dormitory, a public school, an elementary school, a hospital, changing the name from Lynch, because there's been a lot of wealthy Irish named Lynch that gave heavily to hospitals and things. They have nothing to do with there being a trial of a family that lynched their son called Lynch. But it's, again, literal war on words. They know what they're doing at CNN. They're not whacked out leftists. They are the priest of psych warfare, brain damaging their slaves. As much as I was disgusted by the frothing Seattle folks trying to attack me, they all look like soul-sucked zombies. Those are mind-control victims. Orthodox Islam is being orchestrated. That's my big epiphany, is that it's all true. It's the one thing you don't touch. I've had globalist top journalists, you know, enemy operatives all tell me, Alex, we're going to find something. We're going to dig something up. We're going to get you. I know it's existential. You want power. You want control. I expect you to attack me. But it's about their having the will to put out a fraud, a straw man to destroy who I really am. Same thing with Trump. And they tell me, look, we'll go easy. Just stop criticizing Islam and let us bring the Muslims in. And it's been decided, because there's going to be 3 billion of them in just 10 years. There's a billion, 500 plus million right now, that they are demographically, they are going to Islamify us and bring them in and merge it with leftist stuff. And absolutely, they're going to run our lives. And I'm somebody that was against the wars and all this because it was designed to destabilize them, bring them down, put the radicals in and prepare it. And then they used fighting the Muslims to sap our military, our treasure. I mean, the globalists are getting us both ways and walking us into our own Vietnam Part 2, Afghan War Part 2, but this time for us, not the Russians. And it is just total commitment to evil. And they are seeing Islam as their sword, and because of the mental illness and the inbreeding and the ugliness and just all of it, we are to be in a giant ritual. The West is to be defaced, thrown down, and used as toilet paper to the Muslim horde. And journalists that say, look, radical Islam has been allied with the Nazis, Islam, period. This is incompatible. A lot of these folks are you know, really, really racist, blah, blah, blah. And they said, listen, you're going to jail for 6 months. You like that? And guess who they hired to run the spying? Former Stasi, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the ADL now globally are getting all these big donations, billions, billions. Everybody's putting in their million, their 500 million, their 10 million, depending on how big they are, to just, and they now run YouTube and Google and are now starting all the censorship of political party organizations. That's why they've got to be litigated. We're just getting ready to figure out all the violations we've been under, who's best to, you know, go after here with the best case. Not because I'm litigious, skip this break, but because I absolutely have to do this and other people have to do it. And the lawsuits are being started by others right now, too. And Congress is moving. And you know why they're so scared? They're so scared because Joe Arpaio is coming on to give us the first big interview today, which I didn't even ask for, the first exclusive. I'm honored. But, you know, he just couldn't believe that we stood up for him when even Fox News wasn't covering that he'd been convicted and was going to spend years in prison for fake contempt charge by a federal Obama judge and who wouldn't even let him have a jury. But it's not a big deal overall that we got the info to Trump, and I'm just going to leave it at that, and others did as well. But I don't even know if I want our pilot to come on and thank us for all this and give the inside baseball because it gives the media too much of a hissy fit, but who cares? The point is that it isn't about even the pardon for Arpaio that's the right thing to do. Trump did not even know that this was happening because they had him so isolated. And when he finally learned about it from Infowars.com and Drudge Report, this is directly from the president, and then folks had a chance to talk to him, he called Arpaio and told him where he learned about it and said, my God, I didn't know this was going on for months. We're going to get the lawyers to look at a pardon for you. And it almost happened last night. And we told folks he was going to talk about it last night. And I don't want to get into inside baseball because this isn't sycophantic stuff about back channels, the president and all the rest of it. I mean, they talk about it on Fox. They talk about it in Armed Services Committee hearings in Congress. The president knows who's fighting for this republic and who is fearless like he is, who is committed. And when I say fearless, I don't have fear of the enemy. I have fear of I'm not good enough for this. I don't say that to sound, you know, like some honorable knight. I mean, I feel absolutely horrible all the time that I'm not strong enough and I don't have enough will to beat them quicker because these people are absolutely evil. They literally hate you and your family. They're a bunch of pedophiles running it. That's another reason they like Islam is because pedophilia is legal in it. I cannot believe how desperate straits we're in. And people say, well, why do you keep having kids then? Because I'm doubling down. I'm putting... My ancestors didn't give up. I'm not giving up. My kids aren't giving up. And I'm just going to just, I love them so much. The more children I have, the stronger I get because I'm fighting for them. And the light in their eyes gives me strength and a connection right to God. And I'm never giving up. I'm never giving up. I'm going to get stronger. In fact, I can't even handle the strength and discernment I'm getting day by day. It is so humbling to be moved closer to God and under God's wings. And then to be able to see the enemy even that much clearer, it is just, this is good and evil, right and wrong. That's all this is. It's spiritual. The devil's real. This whole thing's satanic. World government, microchips, genetic engineering. It's already here, people. And you're not going to get away from it by joining it or trying to hide. The only way to get out. I'm here with my children. And they basically built this modern civilization as a tomb to bury us alive in. And there's one door to get out of. And the globalist and his all the minions, the devil, are standing in that door. And they know we've got God on our side and we can get out of the door if we ask God for the help and then take action. Don't worry about your body, folks. You worry about who can get your soul forever. They want you to be with them forever in their ugliness and their misery. And they know it. And they're conscious. And they understand it. And they hate you. And they are absolutely sworn to destroy you. This is not the time to hedge bets, ladies and gentlemen. This is the time to get on your knees and ask God to lead, guide, and direct you. This is the time to make the decision for the rest of eternity which side you're on, because it's an absolute infinity fact that the fallen spirit on this planet, take a look where we're at, folks. Bible's dead on. is here, and it wants one thing: to get you in its grasp and to take you down. We're going through it. We're going through it. And the devil is going to be behind us again. And you can already see we're pulling away our hearts, our minds, our souls. And the enemy is just, no! Your children belong to us! No! We are the authority. You will bow to us. You will submit to us. No, we won't. But you're not going to beat the devil with your will. You're going to beat the devil with God's will. And you're not going to find that will at these little satanic churches run by these little glitter bugs up there that are scared to death. And at nighttime, get down on their knees to Satan because they're so scared of the devil. You're going to find God by asking God to come into your heart. You want to beat the enemy? That's where it is. You want to be free of this scum? Because this isn't like some football game or some competitive thing or some pissing contest where we're trying to be the, you know, the guys running things and not the liberals. This is survival. This is survival. And so you've got to say, oh, you threatened me and my family. I'm going to put more into the world for me to love with God. I'm going to hang myself out there right there for you because we've transcended you cowards. Because that's who you are at the end of the day, is a bunch of scum, a bunch of anti-human trash that hates success and hates beauty and hates Genesis. Your lovers of death. What's Genesis? Life. And all its beauty, all its permutations exploding throughout the stars, throughout time and space. What are you? Oh, death. Wow. I'm impressed. As if life doesn't know everything about death. As if life didn't give birth to death. Death is only the little separations between all the rest of life. The flickers in and out, the pulse. The great equalizer. Because the evil doesn't transmit forward. It tries to, but it can't. It can only burn out wherever it gets a hold and sit there cold for eons. I promise I'm going to play all the clips when we come back, but just look at one article. Germany, journalist gets 6 months suspended sentence for criticizing Islam. Argument Islam is a fascist ideology, now hate speech, which is fascist. Thunderbuckets, a Chinese man named Robert Lee, announcer for ESPN, is basically fired because his last name's Lee. That scares people. That's right, Robert E. Lee. Black Lives Matter demands white people's homes as reparations. George and Amal Clooney donate $1 million to Southern Poverty Law Center to combat hate groups. Oh, how good. Transgender reveals self in kindergarten class to five-year-olds and teaches them about sex without asking the parents. Parents never even talk to their five-year-old about sex because they're not thinking about sex. And they go, oh, yes, your child's sexual, and I'm going to teach him because I'm a tranny. And so, oh, I'm not going to criticize a tranny. Go ahead, sexualize my kids. But if a man walked up or a woman to your five-year-old in the park and said, let me talk to you about sex and what's between my legs, you'd go to jail. But see, if it's, oh, let's not be mean to the trannies, that's then the excuse to bring this in. It's all formulas, and they all know it. They all sit around and laugh at you. George Clooney and Brad Pitt and all those guys behind the scenes, Matt Damon, they all know about the New World Order. They all know about all of it. They all sit around and just make jokes at the public and then read whatever they're supposed to. They're not even cool enough to actually be in to enslaving and killing you like their bosses. They just want to, you know, fancy pants around. Everybody kiss their ass. Special place in hell for you. Antifa leftist riot in Phoenix. CNN blames Trump's angry, divisive speech. It's all coming up. Trump will probably end up terminating NAFTA. Oh, look, 4 million Americans paid $2.8 billion in Obamacare penalties in just the first 3 months of this year. But they said there was no penalties. It was a conspiracy theory of racists. I mean, they said Alex Jones is deeply racist. This is a quote from MSNBC, the talking point they've said many times, because he says Obamacare isn't free, and he says there's penalties. They go, well, that's what these deeply racist people do. They just make up lies about our black president. These are quotes. I'm like, here's the bill. They've hired 17,000 more now, IRS agents, just to penalize you. It's in the bill, and the Supreme Court ruled it's tax. They said, listen, I got a magic word, racist. Magic word. Hocus pocus. Abracadabra. Literally. Chabunga. Abunga. Kona. Say a magic word. Grabber's on C-SPAN going, thank God these people are so dumb. We're just supposed to roll over to them and then have weird, freaked out people look like they're half dead, come up to you on the street and go, F you, Nazi. I go, well, actually, talk to me about your views. Screw you, I won't talk to you. And running off, flipping me off. And a couple of them were so dumb, they tried to flip me off. They couldn't even do the right finger. It's like, is that one? And it's just like, what the hell? I'm like, look at you people. What? They've got like a spiritual spider hooked onto them. They're like half dead. And I'm like, you better remove that, bro. And they're like, never. Little spider's eyes are red. You actually notice it's the one talking. You're like, whoa, wow.
We're on the march.
I knew it'd be like this, you know? Like Rowdy Piper. And they live. He goes, oh, of course. Formaldehyde face.
You're listening to The Antidote for Fake News. It's Alex Jones.
Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from the pain you drive into the heart of me. The love we share seems to go nowhere. And I've lost my light. For I toss and turn, I can't sleep at night.
That Roger Stone sent me that I've posted, I really do this, in full to newswars.com, and it links through to the Florida paper. We'll put a link on the bottom to the particular paper itself. But it goes over five reasons why boycotting Roger Stone's 420 speech is horrifically stupid. Because I've done the math on this, and it's already going to happen. If you decriminalize marijuana, and if Trump actually delivers on Obama's promises to do it, and if he can get Sessions to worry about the heroin and, you know, the prescription drugs and all the serious stuff, that will turn the tide 100% for Trump. But regardless of what you think of that, you read this article. Why was he banned on Fox, CNN, MSNBC? We first broke that over a year and a half ago. It was later confirmed there was an actual ban by the Hillary campaign in the WikiLeaks saying, shut down Roger Stone. He's the MVP. Shut down Alex Jones. We've already got a ban on Jones, but get a ban on Roger Stone. As if I need to go on your shows to have viewers. When I go on your shows, then you get viewers. Every time I go on one of their shows, it goes from having 1 million viewers to 10 million viewers that day. And then it's all over the news for weeks. And, you know, number one story of the year, Piers Morgan. Yeah, they had votes. That was the number one rated thing, most covered media event of 2013. They know I'm explosive. Not bragging, it's a fact. And it's the same thing with Roger, because he's a libertarian. And he's not who they say he is, and he is able to go out and get Democrats to wake up to how they're getting screwed over. Not just Reagan Democrats, but liberals. And it gets into how, you know, he's not against gay marriage, pro, you know, marijuana. I mean, Rogers, they call him the super right-wing guy. It's just not true. And it's not like he just says all this stuff. He's involved in that business out in California with the legalization and shops and sales, and has been for decades, you know, trying to get it legalized. It's one of the few things he's aligned with Soros on. But Soros is doing it for different reasons. Marijuana is a unifying force. True reform won't happen without Stone. Trump's focus on opioid crisis is backdoor for 420. True bipartisan appeal. And this article, written by a liberal reporter, I was reading his bio earlier today, actually understands what's going on. And again, just from a Machiavellian perspective, if you're asking why they hate Roger Stone so much, is because he's able to cut through all the partisanship. So they've got big national pieces in the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Soros group, Media Matters and others saying, boycott him, shut him down, get his sponsors, don't let him be on air, don't let him speak at a 420 conference in California, when this is the guy talking to Trump, trying to get him to go with what he originally said, that he is for the states being able to decriminalize. That doesn't mean I'm pushing marijuana. I don't like it. It's super strong. But folks, they're selling hundreds of prescriptions that are far, far worse. They're not letting folks have marijuana for all the real medical uses. It's a plant, has incredible medicinal uses. And some people abuse it. People abuse alcohol. And I'm not going off on some marijuana jag. The point is that this is key calculus for Trump, and it's where he stood for 30 years. So he's very anti-drug, Trump is, but he understands marijuana is something that's in a whole other class and that half of America smokes. So as a country, we've chosen to do this. It doesn't hurt anybody else, and it needs to stop. We need to stop putting marijuana smokers in prison. But I got so much big news. I just want to point out at newswars.com, there's this story that's just a window into why is the left supporting Obamacare, written by the Republican establishment? That's a giant screw job with billions of dollars of fines on people that can't afford it and making you buy health care, ballooning the price of it. If you've got an industry where you have to buy it, what's going to happen? The price is going to go up. That's not rocket science, folks. I mean, we are being so royally screwed bipartisanly, and Trump's standing against that, and Mitch McConnell's running around saying, he might get removed now. I told you a month ago, the next 2 months, the word is, they're going to have the Republican establishment turn against him, bipartisan, say he's mentally ill, drug him, or kill him. And now they're all over the news saying, he's mentally ill. He's got early onset. Oh, yeah, because he never stutters, never stammers, can work 18 hours a day, and is super smart. Boy, if that's Alzheimer's, I want some. My conversations with Trump is he listens some, but he talks and he finishes your sentences. And the guy's like hyper aware. And that's why they're so scared. Again, they want a civil war. They say he's causing a civil war. They say he's got dementia. They've got collective spiritual dementia. Everything they say about him, it's the opposite of what's going on. Now, I've got formerly with Special Forces Operations and CIA and all the rest of it, Pachinik coming on, and there was a consortium and people in and out of government that kind of jumped on the bandwagon with the American people for populism and helping back Trump that did want to get out of Afghanistan. That's what all the smart brains say, and he's really pissed off at Trump right now. And I just want to say I'm not a lesser two evils guy, but Trump is great on 90% of things and means well on things he's doing that we might be able to say down the road might be proven wrong. But the enemies of humanity are at Mach 100 with their afterburners melting the fuselage trying to destroy Trump. And why is that? Because they know he's got their number and they can spiritually see it. And they are, it's like Count Dracula getting hauled out at high noon, folks, and being tied up, you know, to a stake in the middle of the town square. I mean, they are on fire. And the energy you see coming from them right now is their meltdown. You're like, whoa, because that's the pedophiles are getting arrested everywhere. It's all over British news. The government's run by pedophiles and blackmail. Same thing here. It's all coming out. It's all they know the season of the bloodletting for them is coming. And by bloodletting, I mean the pus being drawn out. And so they are screaming like banshees, like a wagon load of vampires that get dumped out in the middle of the Sahara Desert at high noon. They are just looking at the sun and going, ah, and they are burning up in front of your eyes. And so they're putting on their kabuki dance, their baloney dance, bigger than they've ever done with just a wall of lies. What are we going to do? There's 5,000 bikers out in Phoenix, and we've only got 200 people that Soros can ship in. Everybody else is too scared. Well, just say the bikers are against Trump. I mean, it is just incredible. Look at that. Phoenix Times. Antifa's bikers for Trump and other groups planning to protest Trump's Phoenix rally. And I thought surely that's a typo. And then I read it, and it said the bikers for Trump were there against Trump, which they weren't. And then I read it in Reuters. Then I read it in AP. Then I was like, oh, my God. Again, I can't even keep track of the lies anymore. It is a wall of fraud. Did bikers for Trump know they were there to protest Trump? That's the level of deceitful, rat-like creatures we're dealing with. Now, right now, that's just one little stack I mentioned here for you. But I want to get into what happened last night because it's so incredibly important. Briefly, yesterday's special that was supposed to end is going to go one more day because, as is normal, we are skeleton crew in many areas trying to up our crew right now desperately, but launching new shows, we're very busy. We're extending the sales one more day because I've got to have a sales meeting after the show and decide the best products we've got, the best deals we can do, and to have new specials. But this has been the biggest, longest special we've ever launched. It's been very, very successful. It was the John Oliver special and the BuzzFeed special. It's combining that with the 1776 special of this month. So 66% off colloidal silver, 50% off the toothpaste products. Survival Shield, nascent iodine, absolutely game-changing, $17.76, 55% off. Biotrue Selenium, 29% off. Myco ZX is sold out. DNA Force is selling out. We've also pulled out of the sales Brain Force. That is going to sell out in like a week or so. So we took it back to our regular discounted price. It's pretty much never at retail. Every once in a while it is. So that's selling out. So it's not in the special anymore. We've got to stop the air purifier specials today. We've got to stop the Alexa Pure specials. We've never had specials again this big because they're already discounted. We don't like raise price and then drop it a bunch and say, oh, look, it's a special. I mean, it is what it is. I'm religious about just doing what I say I'm going to do. Alexa Pure Breeze, Vitamin Mineral Fusion, Prostaguard. It's all there and it's all massively discounted. Caveman and the True Whey Protein, 30% off, super high quality. Go great together. Try the Caveman in strawberry or chocolate flavor for yourself. I like to put some milk in with it, some berries in with the strawberry flavor, and then it's really excellent. Other ones taste terrible. This, I wouldn't say tastes perfect with water, but the point is it's the nutrients, not the taste. You know, all the ancients and all your grandmothers knew about chicken broth, and that's just a little bit of the essence. This is concentrated, organic, massive dosages of this. It's just the superfood, Caveman. Available at InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLive.com, or 888-253-3139. But it takes time to look at the products and decide what the sales are going to be. I think it's going to be T-shirts, books, and videos for the next few weeks. So if you want to try these products out, sign up for AutoShip, an additional 10% off. I want to thank you all for your support. And the enemy is coming after us. They have got just hordes of private detective groups, newspapers, magazines, publications, just contacting people that I don't even know. And just trying to dig up basically fake informants just to make stuff up like they do in corrupt courts sometimes. And it's just everything that's happened is turned against them. But it's just the level of hate is staggering. And my fear is I'm not strong enough to defeat them long term, but it's so miraculous how everything gets turned around against them because they're such just diabolical trash that God just keeps coming through. But don't think, folks, if they kill me or put me in prison or do whatever it is, that's a defeat. That is a sign of the extreme victory we've been having. But you need to understand, they're announcing massive censorship everywhere. Jihad Watch, mainline site that just exposes ISIS and Al-Qaeda. PayPal took them down. It's the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL literally working for the Muslim Brotherhood now. I mean, it's just, it's the most over-the-top thing now. You mildly criticize any major Islamic group, and the ADL tries to get you shut down. Southern Poverty Law Center does. It's just total racketeering, in my view, by the SPLC particularly. I mean, these are people that call our president a Nazi. They are just a lying pack of evil. I mean, they are so bad. And how they attack, you know, the Family Research Council and, you know, the gunmen that go in and shoot at people and shoot people. I mean, it's just, they are just so bad and they're so wicked. And they're really trying to activate their readers and their mental patients, as folks have said. I really think we should also get on today. We really need to get Mike Cernovich on. He's so knowledgeable. I want to get his take on this moment we're in right now, because the enemy is just revealing itself, and it is horrific. I mean, it is just, ugh. And you just want to be away from them, but they're in the news. They're in your life. They want your kids. They're just always leering and pushing, and they're so spiritually ugly and then physically ugly. And it's, and they know they're demons. They know they're trash. And it's just like, oh, my, what is wrong with you? And they're just seething with hate. They want to get, they can't even hide it. It's crazy. Because they're godless. They're turned over to evil. And they only think if they can snuff your light out, they'd feel good. They don't know how much worse they're going to feel once they are removed. Removed from our presence. Now let's start getting to these epic clips of the president. Let's go ahead and play the first clip. The first clip is, if you want to discover the source of the division in our country, look no further than fake news and crooked media. I mean, that's better. It's crooked media. They're getting paid grants by billionaires at CNN, MSNBC, Salon. All of them get grants and money. They all pile money on from the rigged system they've got and prop it up and then pay for all the nasty media. And that's why the media is so desperate, because they've been told, if you can't deliver, we're going to stop funding you. So there are no rules. There are no standards. There is nothing. Just attack, destroy, start a war, call for the president's death. And so they get up on TV and go, we're going to kill him. He's mentally ill. We're going to kill him. People are like, you know, that's illegal. No, no. And anybody in the military that says they support him, we're going to kick him out, because you can't support the president. We're like, military is supposed to support the president. They're trying to upside down everything, and it's not working on the general public. But for the people under their control, it's driving them into total insanity. And so then they're more and more violent. They're more and more hateful. And it's harder for the media to spin that it isn't their people that are hateful and evil and racist. And so they go, well, just censor everyone. That's not working either. Because we had defenses of the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, other things that weren't perfect and were kind of forgotten about, but now have been rediscovered. And it's like, a lot of times you try to put a fire out, it'll catch the blanket you got on fire. Or you try to put it out, it coals roll out, and it's pretty soon there's a brush fire right here, and all of a sudden the wind kicks up like God's not on your side, and all of a sudden you're engulfed in your own attempt to put out the fires of liberty. And fire goes up and will burn down these evil people in these high places. These fortresses they built for themselves are actually going to be their prisons, the ovens of the heavens, raining down fire like we saw in the time of Ezekiel, burning away the tyranny. Ladies and gentlemen, you saw that eclipse. You see how beautiful this universe is, and you see how strong the fire of liberty is. You witness how you take the metal and you put it into the fire to separate the impure from the pure. Without these tests, I know everybody already knows this, without being put through the fire, through the forge, without being put like the potter's creation through the kiln, is the term I'm looking for, nothing gets hardened, nothing gets strengthened, nothing lasts. Everybody knows that. So when we come back, I'm going to just start playing clip after clip after clip after clip of this incredible speech last night that absolutely horrifies the globalists and absolutely drives them insane. that they can't break the American people's will, but they believe they can break Trump, they can break you.
If you want to discover the source of the division in our country, look no further than the fake news and the crooked media, which would rather get ratings and clicks than tell the truth.
It was a pipe dream that Donald Trump is not going anywhere. People are saying impeachment, he's going to be there for 4 years. But he has given oxygen to racists. Mm-hmm. He hasn't really said anything, denounced the alt-right. He talked about the KKK and whatever. He hasn't really done that. He is clearly trying to ignite a civil war in this country. Mm-hmm. He has not tamped down race. And I'm just going to say, I mean, if he was on my team in this newsroom and said those things, he would be escorted out of the building by security. Yes. And I have to, my colleague Anna Navarro says something, and I want you to respond to this, because I asked Bakari about the 25th Amendment. And she said, the only possible, and this is on Twitter, the only possible defensible explanation for Trump's disgusting, unpresidential, narcissistic behavior would be early onset dementia. Maybe. She's not the only one who's been saying. Some people have been saying that for months. I mean, but listen.
We told everybody that was the next thing about 4 months ago that was coming from our intel. Because the Russian thing they knew was going nowhere. And now, he's mentally ill. He's deeply racist. And notice, first they say, denounce the KKK. Then they label all Republicans that are real alt-right and say, now denounce that. Then denounce the Republican Party. Then denounce any opposition to them. That's all this is. We're going to bully you and come after you and come after your business and call you a racist and bankrupt you and shut down your website and come after your kids. If you don't, let us bring in the Muslims and let us take your rights away and let us sexualize your kids and let us take your guns and let us run your life. Is that clear? Well, is it clear, Don Lemon, that almost nobody watches you and that people understand you're scum? And that you sit up there all day and lie about the president and lie to your viewers and tell people that I said that I'm an actor and don't believe what I say. Just like they're always saying, the Republicans think Trump's looking for a way out. The things he's saying are so crazy, and Clapper and Brennan are out saying it. We think he wants to resign. That's right. He was never really running to win, and then he never really wanted to be president. And then he was never really going to do all this stuff. And, he really worked for Hillary and all the rest of it. None of it was true. It's all a hoax. Just like they'd march into people's offices early on when Trump was out of town and say, Trump fired you, leave. And then they'd call Roger Stone or others up and say, is this true? And they'd say, no, it's a scam. Wait till he comes back to town and go talk to him. And then Priebus came in and said, don't you go talk to him. He goes, well, I'm supposed to. He wants me to talk to him. And they're like, and they're like, Mr. President, the leaks are because you only should talk to one person. Now let us put you in here all alone. And with Joe Arpaio coming on later, the Sheriff Arpaio, the big exclusive interview, he's doing our interview first because he wants to thank us for helping get word to the president. It's not about even the pardon. It's about the story that if you can get to him and let him know something's happening, he will research it and try to do the right thing. And they call that mentally ill, that he's not letting a bunch of globalists play the part of collective president and then tell him what to do and have him read off a script and go play golf. And they're saying, it's insane. Oh, yeah, one-sided NAFTA and GATT and TPP and all this that he's pulling out. It's insane trying to bring our economy back. That's why it's in the news today. Wall Street banks warn downturn coming. They're trying to kill the economy because they know it's associated with Trump. And our Make America Great Again. It's totally naked. They want you poor. They want you dumb. They want your kids. They want you in poverty. It's in the WikiLeaks. Cloward and Piven. It's public. It's published. They're horrible people. And they think they're going to break you. They think they've got control of you. Well, ask God for help. Take action. Speak out. And we are breaking them. We've made more gains the last 2 years than we made the last 100.
front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
What we are looking at is good and evil, right and wrong.
A new world order. The end of the family. The end of mothers. The end of all our gifts God gave us. The beginning of horrors that H.R. Geiger couldn't even imagine in his satanic, twisted mind. Here we are, folks. The separation between good and evil is becoming so clear, and I just can't believe that the people running our country were even worse than I thought, and that the evil at the top now has got people in place that are almost as bad as it everywhere. And we now know the stakes. We cannot let these people get control. We've got to do whatever it takes and just absolutely constantly have our minds focused on being good, being straightforward, being honorable, and being fearless and being in their face. Because we're dealing with pedophile Satanists. You want to know what's bottom of the rabbit hole? That's it. Child-killing, raping, devil worshippers. You want to know? That's it. Then they get bored with that. Genetic engineering, mutating the species, killing the species, putting out genetically engineered funguses that are taking over the ocean and killing huge people. They're just trying to kill the planet right now. It's like watching a demon clown, you know, in a nursery full of kids with an ice pick taking his time with them. And some of them he pulls their eyeballs out. Others he chops their guts out. Others he puts in the microwave. And just runs around giggling and smirking. And you go see the supporters of this evil. They're like mutated versions of that. And you're just like, good God. And then the really higher up elites go, yeah. And we're making more of them, too, because that's their free will. Now, are you going to support us killing all of them? Anytime you want to get sick of this, just join us and we're going to kill all of them soon and then it's going to be okay, Alex. You think we're the evil ones. We actually are just giving them what they want and they've chosen and that's God's plan and yin and yang and you just need to take care of yourself. You need to make the right decision. You just go on and join us and it's not too late. It's not too late. But you did not much further, Alex. Now, come on. Oh, yeah. Oh, so the spider can eat me last? Eat my kids first and then eat me last? Laughing at me? Never. Not in 1 trillion eons. Not in 1,000 infinities. Never, 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 no, 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 no. You will not get control. You will not win. You will not kill everybody. You will not deform everyone. You will not have cancer rates of 90%. You will not have everybody infertile where you have to go to you to have humanoid kids. Oh, five parents. Yeah, it's a person. Here, it's your baby. Oh, look, it's 6'4" and perfectly looking. And it ain't got a soul, baby. They're like imprints, these clones. They just take on whatever they're programmed with in the culture and just go around on power trips. It's basically like Satan bots or artificial synthetic sociopaths. See, there's one switch they want to cut off. It's virtue. It's innocence. Innocence is the window into infinity, the mind of God. And they seek, ever seek to destroy it. Ever seeking, ever looking, ever wishing. The average leftist, if they could, would run through a kindergarten with a hatchet. That's the main line ones. Want to kill your kids. We'll be right back. That's the epiphany.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
All right, at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to open the phones up for listeners on your take on the Iraq Part 2 / Vietnam Part 2 / it's the same war over and over again, the situation in Afghanistan. And we're going to have Dr. Steve Pachinik riding shotgun with us for the hour because he was involved in the founding of Delta Force, involved the training of all these people. He knows who's being sent in from the CIA to supposedly run this operation. I thought this and have done some questioning. And the point is, that's why Trump said it's fluid. He's going to try to have a negotiation, bring in some economic deals, and then pull out, calling it a buildup in the next year. But Pachinik says that's not the case, and that he thinks this is a disaster. And who knows? We'll see who's right. He's been right about 95% of the time. I've been right a few times, too, though, when he was wrong. So, you know, none of us are perfect. The day before the election, he's like, I just think they're giving it to Hillary. That's what they're saying now. And I said, you watch. They're not going to be able to steal all the states. He's going to win. And so we'll go to Pachinik here in a minute. But I've got to play some of these clips, as I've promised to do. Here's Trump declaring the enemy. During the break, I went and got a glass of water. And that we got Fox News on in the coffee room. And they were saying, we don't know what he means in the speech. It was weird. And then they cut the other guy and he goes, yeah, it didn't make sense. It's strange. Trump's rally isn't very helpful to himself. That's going on right now. This is Fox News, folks. It makes me love Trump even more. The entire media combine. I watched the hour-long live deal. I covered it live last night with Rob Dew and Owen Schroyer. We had crew worked 18 hours yesterday. Couldn't drag us away. And we're sitting there watching this. It was all epic. The media is the enemy. They're dividing us. I did decry Charlottesville. We're coming together. On and on and on. I agree with all of it. Oh, by the way, I'm going to pardon Arpaio. It's just not going to be tonight because I want it to all be done legally correct. We were told a week ago he was going to pardon them at that event. And then we were told days before, well, he's going to wait because the lawyers are getting it all straight. The media will spin it that, oh, he just did it on the cuff. Is it legal? When, of course, it's legal. Arpaio is facing years in prison without a jury trial from an Obama judge for executing local, state, and federal law. So, and Arpaio's coming on exclusively next hour. I didn't even ask for this. The guy's so honorable. He's doing Hannity second because I'm going to give me the secrets here, but obviously Arpaio was told by somebody that called him where he learned about it. And it's Dr. Corsi writing the articles, and it's Matt Drudge picked them up, and the president saw it in Matt Drudge's Twitter feed and then said, is this true? I haven't even heard of this on Fox. And he called Hannity up and said, why aren't you covering this? And it's not that Hannity's bad. Fox doesn't want this on. They are threatening everybody. Only Hannity is still fighting. Fox and Friends a little bit. I've talked to other people, high-level Fox, programmers, high-level. I talked to Ailes quite a bit before he died, but I'm going to leave it at that. He wanted to actually come to work for InfoWars, but he would be really there for about a minute and kind of not there. And I said, sir, you need to retire. I don't think they killed him. He was could hardly walk at the end. But they wanted me to go meet with him in Florida. And so all this is going on. All this is happening, and you just can't help but love Trump with all these hyenas and all these jackals attacking him and $4 trillion in the stock market and everything else that's happening. And then big banks say the end's near. Everything's going to plunge. We're raising interest rates. I mean, they're doing everything they can to kill this recovery and saying, wait till the economy goes down in the next few months. Then we're going to be able to get rid of you and say you're senile and just, nah. And so all this is happening, and they got CIA guys on TV going, we're going to fill mud. Well, we're going to kill him in the next month. I mean, this is what happens when they do kill him. They think they have like a full dictatorship. Say, yeah, we killed him. Now we're going to kill Rush Limbaugh and Alex Jones. You people are crazy. As if you won't be instantly thrown out of that coup. I mean, anybody knows, anybody that executes a big, bloody, nasty coup like that, four or five groups are going to be basically taken to the guillotine after that. I'm going to be as far away from this power struggle as possible if they kill El Presidente. And I say El Presidente because we are banana boat, baby, at that point. So Let's play a few clips and go to Pachinik for the rest of the hour and take your calls, 800-259-9231. Here he is calling out the enemy. I've already played this clip. I'm going to play it again. Here is the president calling out the enemy, the media, the corporate whore media owned by foreign banks that had the gall to pass Obamacare to triple your prices, make you buy it, and gang rape you, written by Republicans, and then the dumb Democrats go, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Yeah, please don't throw you in that briar patch, idiots. God, you're stupid. Let's go to the clip.
If you want to discover the source of the division in our country, look no further than the fake news and the crooked media, which would rather get ratings and clicks than tell the truth.
I want to play next the Clapper piece, and then I'm going to go to our guest and play more of the clips with him. We're going to get to Afghanistan summit and back into the president overall. That we told you 4 months ago, the chatter was, because see, Roger Stone's really smart, and this isn't a secret. He talks to probably 50 reporters a day. And so he gives them a lot of good stuff. They give him stuff. And he said, no, the next thing is the Russian narrative is going to fail. They're going to expand it to all of his records and his whole family and try to find a bounce check or something, which they later admitted 2 months later. But the big thing is he's going to have early onset of dementia. And now that's the drum. It was all over the news last night. But here's Clapper. This is the guy that ran all, quote, U.S. intelligence, that 17th agency that said that the NSA never spies on Americans and that the sky is black at noon, not blue. The Easter Bunny's real, but George Washington isn't. James Clapper, I question Trump's fitness for office. Wonder if he's looking for a way out. Again, the same lies. And then McConnell deserting him and saying, we're going to turn. McConnell tried to stop him in the primaries. It's the same dirtbags trying to hoodwink you. This is a test of you. Forget who Trump is. This is a test on their controlling the narrative, like Karl Rove trying to show off to some female reporters. Just like Richard Pearl saddled up to a bunch of hot reporters and said, you know, I kill people. I'm a big killer. I kill a lot of people. Like, weighs 400 pounds, huge black circles, looks like a raccoon. And the women are like, ugh, gross. Hey, dude, women don't want to hear about any people you ordered killed yourself when you can't hardly walk. But at the same meeting, Karl Rove tries to show off and goes, I control history. And all of you media are nothing. I tell you what to say, whether it's true or not, you put it out, then I'll change history again. It's like Winston being tortured by O'Brien in 1984, and he's pulling his teeth out, and he goes, listen, once you're totally mentally ill, you won't believe in gravity if I tell you. We're going to get you to the point where I show you four figures. You see whatever the hell I want. You don't see four figures. You see 527, 8. You see purple giraffes, bro. When I'm done, you have no mind because my religion is destroying your mind and pissing on everyone because I'm in the priest of power. And that's all this is for Don Lemon and the rest of them. And Karl Rove in an airport, I walk over and he goes, you're not a team player. You could be on Fox if you just start being a team player. And I'm like, dude, I mean, I don't want to get into stuff. He's just so stupid. I'm sitting there like I want to be on Fox when they've already offered me shows like 15 times. I don't want to get into numbers or any of it. He's just so stupid. I mean, I was like talking to a retarded midget. He even looks like he's got extra chromosomes, and I'm not being mean here. It's like they've got a poor Down syndrome guy, and he literally is bragging to women that he's powerful and controls reality. Oh, my God. That is the virtue, and I love Down syndrome kids, and give them the Special Olympics. They're great people. I'm just saying. But he has that strength, though. He does have that idiot strength. But, okay. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm going to skip this break so we have more time. When I start laughing this hard, it's really a bad situation. Okay. Hey, Dr. Pachinik, you've been down about the Afghanistan thing, but it's okay. It's okay. Go ahead.
You are brilliant.
No, I'm not.
I couldn't pay for this show. Honestly, I don't think anybody really understands how incredibly brilliant you are when you're riffing. It's like a jazz riff of incredible insights. I mean, talk about stream of consciousness, but it's always on target. You're right. Karl Rove is a midget. You're talking about Ailes. He was ready to die. I worked with him on the Bush campaign. You know, these are very mediocre individuals. The reason why you stand out is you've got a mind that's fast. It's quick. You pick up on that stuff.
Enough about me. Come on. Come on. Let's talk about, you're really mad right now about Afghanistan. I agree with what you're saying is right. It's terrible.
Look, let me just put it in simple words. We don't need wars. Trump came in. We said no more wars, no more Afghanistan, no more Iraq. That was it. And his initial instinct was correct. I don't want to go in Afghanistan. Then Mad Hog Mattis, and I give credit to Conley.
Mad Hog. I like that. Is that his new name?
It's a man named Conley from Boston, South Boston, who did a brilliant. It was a man named Conley who lives in Maine. I give him credit, called Mad Hog, because he couldn't wait to get out of the military and then run to General Dynamics and then run to Theranos, which was this incredibly ridiculous company that was doing bloodstains, and it was bankrupt. And it shows you how stupid really Mattis is, and capable of really living a life on his own. And he had the great insight one day to say, oh, I remained in the military because I didn't want to have a midlife crisis. Are you kidding? This guy is a disaster. He is a self-promoter, a self-aggrandizer. And when you read his articles, they're childish. They're stupid.
That's what I thought. It's like he goes, I know philosophy. I'm really smart. I'm a genius. It's like I'm a shaman. And like it is the most, it's like a five-year-old wrote it.
Correct. And he comes out of the Hoover Institute. Meanwhile, he hasn't done anything creative. He can't write. He's not articulate. And he has no strategy. So other than that, we're doing fine, America. Thank you, Mrs. Lincoln. We had a wonderful time at the, the theater. We're in a disaster mode. Trump should have gone with his instinct and said, get out. We don't need it. McMaster's a disaster. Clapper, who should have been indicted, convicted, and gone to prison for lying in front of Congress. This moron who came out of what we call SIGINT and then becomes DNI while he's director of national intelligence, Clapper, works for another company at the same time. Then when he gets another position, he works with another company.
I understand they're all lying in their pockets, but let's expand on this. Afghanistan, Trump was against it, 15, 16 years ago. He's always against the Iraq war. All this, his instincts have been right. What changed? What are your sources? I've got a lot of sources. Or is this just?
Well, it's not my sources. What you can do is look at the New York Times and you'll read the lead article by a man who worked for me, who I call the most slimy, egregious, disgusting individual whom I've had to work with, so-called Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad. He comes from Afghanistan. He's the only Muslim among the neocons. So he got slipped in, and Zalmay has been influencing this narrative. When the first time around he influenced it with the neocons, we went into Iraq. They created a disaster. Zalmay is a CIA operative, one of the dumbest they have. Came out of the University of Lebanon, American University of Lebanon, married to a Christian woman, Christy Berna. And all they've done is to make themselves egregiously sycophants in order to get through the political system. So the CIA pushed them through, and my policy planning staff, the boss who oversaw me, my friend, said, be careful. I took him into the West Bank in Gaza. He had no idea of what was going on. He was a terrible translator. He couldn't really conceptualize any strategy or tactics. I came back, explained to Secretary of State Schultz that we would have eventually intifada. The Israelis were creating Hamas at that time. The Israelis denied it. They created Hamas as a counterforce to Hezbollah. Zalmay came out of the University of Chicago along with Paul Wolfowitz, Scooter Libby, and Richard.
I understand. Pearl. So they've got a neocon in there advising
Not
the generals.
Idiot. They have a whole bunch of them. Steve Hadley back again. You've got this moron and coward, John Bolton, who said, I can't go in the Vietnam War because I'm going to end up in a rice paddy dead. Oh, really? No kidding.
But he does have a nice mustache.
He does. You're correct. I must admit, but, you know, this is the kind of guy that will never understand your humor. None of them will understand you. But they take themselves so seriously that they are really slimy parasites of our country. And what we have is a parasitic institution now. 80% of the generals between 2004 and 2011 left their six-figure pensions and went on to get more than six and seven figures from General Dynamics, SAIC, L3, blah, 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 all the other industrial complex. What I expected Trump to have done, as I'm a businessman, you're a businessman, one, to follow his instincts, get out of the wars. We don't need the wars. There is no terrorism. The CIA's created the Taliban. They created Al-Qaeda. They created
Hotline. I understand. You're giving us a history lesson, but what do you think is going to happen? How did Trump get convinced of this? I was told, and by the way, Eric Prince, actually, you were being critical of the other day, was talking to some of our sources saying that it's all going to be a disaster and not a good idea. He was saying pull
That's
out.
Fine, but I mean, I'm critical of Eric Prince because his background was very simple. I knew his background when he was a SEAL. He was not a great SEAL. I'm not saying he should or shouldn't be doing what he's doing. That's his business. But when he created Blackwater, you're talking about a kid who was financed by his father. His father's a multi-billionaire. He didn't make his business. And then he came in and got multi-billion-dollar contracts from Cheney through his sister. Divorce. So you're not talking about individuals who've really proved themselves in the past. What we have here is a series of failed individuals. That's my business, to understand their personalities and how their failures in turn repeat and create more dynamics.
Well, then let's get into Trump's psychology. He's somebody who has great energy, I think great health overall, but, you know, does have some issues from going to military academy with kind of worshiping the commandant. I agree with you. I'm not a psychiatrist like you or a doctor or whatever from MIT and all your degrees. But looking at the claims that he has early onset of dementia, you know, this obvious talking point. And what do you make of that as a psychiatrist? I know you're not under the Goldwater rule, supposed to diagnose from a distance, but they're all doing it. What do you make of all their ridiculous diagnoses? Because they've had diagnoses about me that, you know, that I'm a megalomaniac, that I'm a narcissist, all this other horse manure.
Listen, I hit the psychoanalytical community. I said to others who are not qualified, Trump is fine. He may have certain personality traits, that's his, but he doesn't have dementia. If that woman Navarro got sued by Trump and the family, you would see everything stopping. There's nothing mentally ill with Trump. What he's doing is his
own. Well, we found out they were told at the New York Times meeting 4 months ago, they said, don't worry, we're not going to get him on Russia. We're going to get him on dementia. I mean, I did a video. It's got a million views of Roger Stone. We had people in the damn meeting. I mean, it's ridiculous how much intel we've got on these people. But they just fly like they don't care that they have a huge radar signal. They just do what – there it is. Roger Stone predicts Trump critics will float Alzheimer's claims to demand impeachment. Let me see if the Washington Times gave us credit. Let's scroll down. Because, I mean, that was back 4 or 5 months ago I did that. That was May 17th. That was way before that we broke that down. So, I mean, it's now happening.
I'm not saying Roger isn't wrong. I'm just saying that the basic
No. Obviously, we know he's not mentally ill and doesn't have dementia. He's in great shape for 71. Looks like he's 60. What I'm saying is, it's like, where is this going? As a psychiatrist, let's get real about watching Trump and seeing what he does. It is a little interesting. He always wants to have his family around. It's a little interesting that he just gets really crazy around generals. I know he loves the military. That's good. That's one of the best expressions of our society is folks that sacrifice and stand for something compared to the leftist blobs. I mean, I get what he's saying. So I admire a lot of it, but it gets a little creepy with the general stuff.
What he is it's not creepy. I told you in the beginning, his father was German, came here, built up a huge real estate empire, and understood that Trump, as an adolescent, had a disciplinary problem. So he sent him to the New York Military Academy, which was more of a reformatory school. That's fine. In turn, Trump really began to appreciate the military precision and all that. But he himself never wanted to go to Vietnam and really avoided the draft for whatever reason. The key element here isn't even about Trump. It's about this machinery, this war machinery that keeps on pushing through not only the Clintons, the Obamas, the Bushes, now even Trump, who came in to say, we're going to clean this all out. And suddenly they sequestered him. Now, I'm going to blame part of this on my own, on myself, because I encouraged some of my people to have military discipline in their command and control. I had no problems with John Kelly. But when I heard that we were going back to Afghanistan, and then I could see the footprints of this slimy monster, Zalmay Khalilzad, who avoided every military conflict we had, but made sure that we had wars in 9/11, went into Iraq. He became ambassador of Iraq. Then we went into Afghanistan. He became ambassador of Afghanistan. He never could earn a penny outside of the Rand Corporation or any papers. And suddenly he has his own consulting firm. So what I'm talking about is the repetition of these obsequious sociopaths, both in the military and the civilian and the CIA, who come, define the narratives, and then finally they extract money from it. And so,
well, I know in the meetings from folks that were in a conference call when it happened that they kept saying, sir, 10,000 troops died for this. You've got, they, it's for the troops. And it's like, he's got this weak point. Literally, it shows how good he is that he's like, yes, we can't give up. We're winners. We've got to, because we can't let them die in vain. What do we do about that psychology?
Well, the bottom line of the psychology should have resided with McMaster, and he failed. McMaster wrote a definitive book, the PhD thesis, on the dereliction of duty. And the dereliction of duty, he explained exactly how these obsequious generals, Abrams and Westmoreland, got the president to do what they wanted him to do. We have the same situation right now. And what he needs is a reality tester, not his own family. He needs somebody from the outside, whether it's Roger Stone or someone else who he can trust, to say, look, you have to be consistent with your promises to the people. And that way, Bannon was a very effective reality tester. Where he had a problem, and I probably would have had the same problem, is that Bannon was talking too much as he came in, and he was talking too much as he left. In other words, in some ways, he had to be more Machiavellian and more restraint on himself in order to affect the changes.
Well, sure. And then I love the New York Times today. It's like, Democrats warn Bannon, don't leak intel or we'll have you indicted, when they're the biggest leakers the world ever seen. We'll be back with phone calls, more clips of Trump. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Tell you about Texas Radio and the Big B. Comes out of the Virginia swamps, cool and slow, with plenty of precision. The backbeat narrow and hard to master. Some call it heavenly in its brilliance, others keen and rueful of the Western dream.
If you are receiving this transmission live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, you are the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
One last breath before wind blows. Better raise your ears. Sound of hooves knock at your door. Lock up your wife and children now. Time to wield the blade, because now you've got some company. The horsemen are drawing nearer. They come to take your life. Onto the dead of night. You see the four horsemen ride. So choose your fate and die. Oh, yeah! You know, Dave Mustaine wrote this song. And now he's writing a lot of other good songs, exposing tyranny. And growing up listening to that song, The Four Horsemen, when I was like 12 years old, lifting weights or whatever, I could never imagine years later I'd work with him a little bit behind the scenes to write some of the new albums. But it shows how all of you can do amazing things. You never know when you're doing little things how big it is. An example of that is David Knight came in here yesterday and he goes, look, I'm only getting hundreds of thousands of viewers online, not millions, and we're only got, you know, like, you know, 15 stations signing up in the next month. I go, dude, most people take 20 years to get on 15 stations. You're doing great. And I said, I used to be on Access Television in 95, 96, and you know, a few thousand viewers. I had no idea. One of them was Mike Judge. And he said this on tape. I'm not bragging about me. He made one of the top 10 TV shows ever. They had 11 seasons or whatever. King of the Hill, one of the few shows with a few decent values. And kind of the Hank Hill character, and then you got the Dale Gribble. Because he didn't know if I was right or wrong, so he kind of created the Hank Hill character off his dad and his grandpa and me. But then the bad side, because he wasn't sure if we were right, was Dale Gribble, the conspiracy theorist. You know, it's gold fringe on the flag. It's a fascist court. And then later I meet Mike Judge, get to be good friends with him, and he's like, yeah, look at this VHS. It says Alex Jones, you know, the three Gribbles. And it was like I was a composite him watching every night. I used to go up there every night. And then he was riding King of the Hill while he was at his house in a studio. And it's just then I thought I wasn't influencing anybody in 95, 96. But I was influencing Mike Judge in King of the Hill. And that's just an example of how you throw these rocks out in the pond and you don't know what they're going to do. And that's why the globalists are so desperate about ban information, ban everyone. You have no power. You're scum. You're racist. If you talk about anything, if you notice there's death panels or that we're going to double your health care, you are a Nazi. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. It's because they're so scared. All of this is not a sign of their strength. It's a sign of their weakness, which scares me that a bunch of crazy people are dug in the government who are peacocking around trying to stop Trump when they ought to be asking, we can beat him by becoming more populist and ride all the wealth and figure out why everybody hates us. But they don't want to figure out why everybody hates them because they're going to project onto everybody else who they are, a bunch of race pimps. Now, we'll go to the psychiatrist here in a minute to talk about that, Dr. Steve, Chris, John, Paul, Scott, and others that are patiently holding. But briefly, before I play a few of these clips and go back to Pachinik of stevepachinik.com, yeah, say what you want. I don't like this because he said, and he always does what he says, my instincts, this is bad, get out. I get you can't announce you're getting out. We just start evacuating and announces, I've removed 90% of the forces. The last forces are leaving tomorrow. Or, you know, whatever. And then you don't have the Saigon event of 75. But I don't like it. But then compared to the wall of evil over here, I'm just not going to get in a whole hissy fit about it, even though it's going to be our troops getting their arms and legs blown off. I feel sorry for them, and I don't want 24 suicides a day and all this. I mean, he's trying to help with more visits to the VA and all this other stuff, trying to privatize it. Great, whatever. We'll get Pachinik's take on that, which should happen at the VA. He's worked in psychiatry at the VA and run whole, you know, divisions of it. So, but all I know is my gut knows Trump's real. My instinct knows he's real, and I'm going to see him stumble. But he's in the arena cut up pretty bad, folks. And the wolves are now coming in, trying to crash the market, everything. We're at the moment of real truth here. But before I go any further, if you don't fund us, it encourages the enemy to attack us because we know they watch our capital and they know what we're doing. And there's been a lot of stuff behind the scenes. But I'm just going to leave it at that. I mean, because they don't just say they're going to kill you. There's also a lot of other things that come in to play. And some of the offers, I think, are good groups and good people. But, you know, 500 million, 50 million, 20 million. And, like, we don't even want control here. Just, you know, and it's just like, I don't know if I can deal with all that stuff, you know. And then they have the news. Oh, $500 million, Alex Jones. Oh, whatever. Yeah, but all this stuff is happening. I just need you to buy products like water filters, air filters, T-shirts, books, videos, supplements that I know are great, are the best products we can bring in. We go just private label, whatever's been around 20, 30 years. They go, he sells stuff that's been around forever. Yeah, the tried and true formulas, private label by us. What do you think? I don't know I'm a target? Plus, I want to sell you good stuff. Of course, I go out and get the very best brand names and private label them. I mean, anyways, we're selling out of DNA Force. We're selling out a lot of the products. Secret 12, 66% off the colloidal silver. DNA Force is selling out. We can't do Myco ZX. That's sold out. The Brain Force is selling out, so it's not on sale anymore. Survival Shield X2 is still on sale. Oil of Oregano is on sale. Doesn't sound fancy. It's really amazing. BioTrue Selenium, just mustard seed, truly organic. It's like our iodine. They go, we tested it. It's not sodium iodine. It's not this other iodine. It's just pure iodine, which we've never seen anybody sell. Well, it's pure atomic iodine from deep earth. Yeah, you never saw anybody actually sell that. Because everybody's too lazy to go dig it up and get a DEA license. The stuff like turns into blue, purple gas like I Dream a Genie if you get it out in the open until we put it into the palm oil. The point is, it's all available at InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com. And I was not going to have this special today, but I got busy in meetings and a bunch of other stuff. We did not, it's my fault, get to the new specials. I haven't figured them out yet. So it's not something where, oh, the sale's one more day because I'm saying it, even though it turns out to work really well. I haven't gotten around to a new sale. We never had one this big, this long. There's dozens of things. Free shipping on $50 or more. Sign up for auto ship. It's an additional 10% off at InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. But know this. When you spread our articles and videos, when you pray for us, when you talk to folks word of mouth about InfoWars and NewsWars.com, when you send the videos out, when you buy products, you could not be savaging the enemy more. Because this is war bonds here. And they think I'm crazy because I don't sell out to them. I'm not selling out to a bunch of pedophiles. It's just not happening. It's easy to not sell out to these people. A bunch of devil-worshipping, self-centered jerks that, oh, the finest thing in the world of an elite is to kill a child. That's really powerful. I mean, it's just, that's who they are. These are the folks grabbing your kids out of your backyards, okay? You take one look at them, but you can see it as well. So, Dr. Pachinik, I want to play some clips and go to calls. But getting into positive things, they've got Fox News, CNN, they're all unified against Trump now. Why do you think that is? And other points on that.
I want to get to a point that you said about the ability to create something for oneself. I think that's the most important thing we can teach our audience. And let me say something. When I started writing, it took me, I was a 20-year overnight success. I was getting 4 and 5 rejections a day, and I was changing the type, the character. It didn't matter. Then one day, I came up with the notion of an op center, which was a fictional notion of what would happen in the present and in the future. All the public.
And now the threat fusion centers, the whole model, out of your brain.
And one day, I walked to Clancy because he used me as a model for Jack Ryan and Dick Clark. And I said, Tom, I'm going to share this with you. Put your name on the book. Now, this is the same book that was rejected hundreds, if not thousands of times. Went back to the same publishers with Tom Clancy's name on it. They thought I was a genius. They couldn't believe it. They said this couldn't be the same book. So my point to you and your audience is, this is what America's about. America is not about the congressmen or the politicians or even the generals. You serve if you want to serve. You don't take money. I did not take money. And the one thing they could not understand about me, because I was a Cuban refugee, came to America, and they told me I would have to serve this country. And I said, fine, even though I may not agree with your wars, I will serve. And I did. I was quickly promoted to an 07, which is the rear admiral rank, at the age of 39. I had 10 years of pension in. And you know what I did? I said, you know what, gentlemen, I'm not going to continue anymore. And they said, are you nuts? Are you crazy? You're not continue? We're going to make you the director of NIMH, your director of this and director. I said, I don't want to be director of anything. I just want to go out in the United States of America as a refugee and screw up. They said, what? I said, yeah, be a chance to screw up, not a chance to succeed, but the chance to make my own mistakes without a safety net, without any degrees, without any medals, without anything else. Guess what? I screwed up and I enjoyed it. And you know what? That's the message I can give to you and the entire.
And everything they pitch with these participation medals and stuff is don't screw up, never get out on the net. But Eisenhower was the end of understanding that centralization of knowledge was the problem with his military industrial technocracy speech, because they had programs under Eisenhower that extended out to when my dad, even though he was gone by then, wrote off to, you know, to Union Carbide and to NASA. And then an 18-wheeler pulled up with a big ruby laser system because, you know, he was doing good in school and all this stuff. And he was like 14 years old. And they go, here's your laser system. Now build it. They were actually testing to see because they knew it wasn't going to come from the top. It was going to come from – and they were sending weapon systems and lasers and like stuff. Later he told me about the other people he knew were being sent even crazier stuff to see what kids would do, because back then the elite knew it was from the grassroots. That was the American right. system. Instead, it changed with a bunch of sycophant white shoe boys about how they're the elite and Karl Rove walking around arrogant, not realizing if you really have real ideas, you know, you block your mind out when you become arrogant. These people are missing the very essence of creation, the very essence of that spark.
Yeah, no, you hit it on the head. And one of the reasons why I've criticized the CIA, but I've always admired what they've done, is because the 1970s and 60s, they created the McCone Center at MIT to study political psychology, propaganda, national character with people like Lucian Pye, Everett Hagen, Ken Kaufman. And when you learn those things, you never forget it. And in turn, that was the essence of the CIA then. It eventually transmuted into other organizations, but they were always very kind to me. They've offered me endless types of jobs, and I just said, guys, I'm not interested. I don't want to be in the business of being controlled. And even when General Boykin asked me, do you want a clearance? I said, no. I don't want a clearance. I don't need a cover, because in the world I work in as a singleton, just as an American, I go out there to specifically get interrogated so I can find out for us what are the key issues that are going to be coming out in Syria. You don't find it out by confronting them. You find it out by having yourself arrested and finding out which questions are essential. Now, they never thought of that concept, but yet I have great generals like Keith Alexander and others and Jerry
Boykin. Well, sure, you go out and you draw the enemy fire.
Correct.
I want to go to some phone calls here, but I just got word. I just got word. I'm not going to say from who. It's not Roger Stone, and it's not Sheriff Arpaio, and it's not anybody. Nobody we ever heard of. The paperwork is clear. The pardon is done.
Good.
He is set to sign it today. We'll see when that's announced, but they just want everybody to know that we have it here first. Our pile is coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. I want to go to a few phone calls right now. But just, it's not about, oh, we broke this or we did all this. It's about the fact that we got this in front of the president. And then he did something. That's how sequestered and why they're so pissed. Because they know he goes to InfoWars. He goes to Drudge. He goes to Breitbart. They know. And then he watches Hannity. And they're saying, sir, don't even look at these people now.
Well, what they're trying to do, and we've talked about it before, is they're trying to deprecate you and deprecate you in a way that's just absurd. Because most of the media is totally jealous of what you're capable of. They can't riff in the way that you do. And I'm not trying to butter you up.
Well, you're nice. I was told a week ago the paperwork was almost done, but go ahead.
You can't riff the way you riff with both insight and humor. If you could tell me who does that, and these are professional comedians. Look at Bill Maher. He can't do that. All he has done is just palaver. I've known Bill Maher when he was a comedian in New York.
Well, it's teleprompters.
Well, that's correct. Then you look at, whatever else, the British guy, totally useless. I mean, when you come to Alex Jones, and this was very important, and I want the audience to understand it. This is not just about giving you information. This is the ability to absorb it and understand the actual passions of somebody like yourself who grew up in Texas, somebody like myself. Most people don't realize I grew up in Harlem. On 108th Street in Amsterdam. I went to Booker T. Washington. What's a white minority guy doing in a black school? So when you want to talk to me about the elites, this is the way I got out. I got out because I got a scholarship thanks to Nelson Rockefeller, which was anonymous. In other words, you had to compete. It was called the New York State Regent Scholarship. And by chance, I won one out of 800 out of 2 million. And I go to a school I've never heard of, Cornell. I hadn't any shopping. My parents couldn't care less.
But you know the Rockefellers were obsessed with test scores. They wanted to get everybody that had a brain.
Well, I'm going to say something, but I know the Rockefeller, certain parts of the family. You know, they have much money, and they've done many things. But within their own family, and I won't name it, they have had massive, massive tragedy. When a son has died, commits suicide, and a daughter's hospitalized, that's not enough to be a Rockefeller. And I have pity for them. The Rockefeller Foundation, however, has been a
firm. No, you're right. Great wealth is a curse. People don't know that.
No, it is a great curse. I used to treat very wealthy people in many places, and they couldn't find their point of happiness.
No, I mean, I found out later, like all these members of my family, people that were involved in the Texas Instrument, calculators and missiles and everything, like they would get like $1 billion. Back when that was $1 billion, they would just give it away. And I'm later like, why do they do this? It was like, because they know it's a curse.
That's correct. It's not only a curse, the guilt that comes in from making the money however they made it. Texas Instruments pretty legitimate at that time. But the point is, most of them, you can't become a billionaire without being a crook. I mean, it's just not possible. At the same time, in order to assuage their own guilt, they give it away and make it sound as if they're really self-righteous and noble. I mean, nothing is more egregious than the Gates Foundation, as if he had some major influence.
Oh, well, that foundation's a money laundering deal. He gets the money back.
Correct. Now, that's correct. But there is an organization within the government that we never talk about, and that's DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. And what do? They go out and they find the smartest individuals.
Well, no, I mean, it was basically DARPA. What was the name of it before that sent my dad the 18-wheeler with a laser?
Well, that was DARPA or ARPA at that time, but it was Defense Advanced Research Project Agency that understood the internet in the 60s and the 70s.
But think of the thinking in like 1965 to be sending thousands of kids science sets and 18-wheelers with lasers not put together to say, how would you put this together to see what you did? You know, and my dad created like a particle beam, actually, not even a ruby laser, and then it was blew up, but it was a big success. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Imagine the mindset of that. I promise, we're going to your phone calls on the other side, then Judge Arpaio exclusive coming up. Stay with us. For now, forever gone. Scott in Connecticut, listening on 1120 AM, WBCM, wants to talk about Afghanistan. Scott, thanks for holding. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Mr. Jones. It's an honor to speak to a legend like you.
No, honor to talk to you. Come on.
Well, this is what I want to say. We need to get out of Afghanistan, the Middle East. There's no point of us being there. The only one that benefits, sir, is Israel and the Zionists. We're there because we're joined to the hip with Israel and the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC, wields tremendous power. Congressmen and senators can't get elected to office in this country if they're against Israel. They're branded as an anti-Semite, a Jew hater. They just wield too much power. And talking about AIPAC, all of the garbage that's going on for Trump is coming from George Soros, who is an international Jewish banker, communist, and fifth columnist, who's behind the Occupy Wall Street movement and the Black Lives Matter, and him along with Charles Schumer and Adam Schiff and Bernie Sanders, Dianne Feinstein, want to make America a Jewish communist nation. Let's be honest. America absolutely, positively has a Zionist-occupied government, a Zog. The Jews control Wall Street, the media, Hollywood, and American foreign policy. The proof.
Well, let me ask you this question, because I think in your statement is the answer. You've got Soros trying to overthrow Israel and Netanyahu in the documents in the WikiLeaks. And then you're saying that Soros is controlling America when he was a Nazi collaborator. Isn't it that you've got all sorts of different Jews in the world with different political views, and that some of these leftist Jews, because they're just leftist, have these collectivist models? I understand there's a big Israel lobby, and I don't like any foreign lobby manipulating us, and I've been against it. So I get called anti-Israel while I'm called, you know, a minion of Israel. But let's get Pechenik's take on that, because, I mean, I know, Dr. Pechenik, you had family that actually did die under Hitler's occupation. You know, you're, I guess, half Jewish or whatever. You know, so you guys fled to Cuba because the U.S. wouldn't take you or whatever. You know, earlier, I guess, with FDR, but later would. You've written a book about it and your mother's experiences. I mean, what is your real view on this? Is the guy that did the Camp David Accords successfully, with Jimmy Carter? I mean, you're a famous guy when it comes to Middle Eastern peace. What's really happening?
He's not wrong. I wish he were, but the issue of I'm as a Jew, and in the beginning, I was in what's called Betah. Betah was the right wing of the Israeli armed forces and the right wing of the political system. What the gentleman is trying to say, and he's not being anti-Semitic, is that there is a disproportionate number of Jews in the White House. He's absolutely correct. I do not need an Orthodox Jew in the White House who's going to tell you about Chabad. What they don't tell you about Chabad is that Rabbi Schneerson was a traitor. When he got out of Warsaw with the Nazi help and the Abwehr, he came to the United States and denounced my family, who was exterminated, and said the 6 million Jews were deserved to die. So we have Israel. When, in fact, we, the escaping Jews from Europe, tried to get to Israel, and Eichmann actually spoke Hebrew. He was in Israel in the 1920s. Ben-Gurion and the head of the Jewish agency said to the Eichmann, who wanted money and needed people, he said, we will give you thousands of the Jews in the camps in return for some financial help. The answer was no, we need 300 cows instead of one Jew. So the issue of the American Jew who knows nothing about anti-Semitism, the AIPAC issue, he's correct. I
mean, isn't it really a ruling class of people feeding, isn't it so-called Jews feeding on Jews? Like Soros is a Nazi collaborator.
Jews feeding on Jews. You have different cultural Jews. I mean, in Israel, you have 124 types of Jews. What he's saying is that in America, AIPAC does have disproportionate power. Let me give the example of Afghanistan.
Hold on, let's come back with that and get Scott's comeback. And then our pio's on. How am I going to get 20 hours a day? There's just so much to cover here. It's all uncensored. It's all real.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
I'm just curious, do the people in this room like Sheriff Joe? Sheriff Joe convicted for doing his job? That's what. He should have had a jury, but you know what? I'll make a prediction. I think he's going to be just fine, okay? I won't do it tonight because I don't want to cause any controversy. Is that okay? All right? But Sheriff Joe can feel good. The people of Arizona know the deadly and heartbreaking consequences of illegal immigration. The lost lives, the drugs, the gangs, the cartels, the crisis of smuggling and trafficking. MS-13! We're throwing them out so fast, they never got thrown out of anything like this. We are liberating towns out on Long Island. We're liberating. Can you imagine in this day and age, in this day and age, in this country, we are liberating towns. This is like from a different age. We are taking these people. They don't shoot people because it's too fast and not painful. They cut them up into little pieces. These are animals. We are getting them out of here. We're throwing them in jails and we're throwing them out of the country. We're liberating our town.
That's right. The same gangs that are torturing Mexico, killed 120,000 people the last decade.
You've seen it.
Are being kicked out.
You've lived it. And you elected me to put a stop to it. And we are doing a phenomenal job of putting a stop to it. That I can tell you.
I remember 10 years ago when Sheriff Arpaio was in the middle of his constitutional duty as sheriff there in Maricopa County, it'd be in a local news where they'd find six or seven severed heads. And then I would report it, and the news would say, Alex Jones made up severed heads. Well, no one's making up the severed heads of the mass graves. Texas is worse on our border. They found like 5,000 buried people just in 1 year down by El Paso. And it's the criminal gangs then working with the Democrats that keep it open. We're going to go to break. We have the exclusive Sheriff Arpaio interview. Here he is joining us. And a lot of people said, hey, you know, he's out of power. The Justice Department's going after him. Let's just move on. I said, move on. I said, we're next in prison, buddy. We're the ones that are going to get set up next. Arpaio's the champion that basically woke America up and led us to this point in many ways and went through all this hell. Stopping the Islamic people, Chinese coming across, Eastern Europeans, it didn't matter, just illegals pouring across, no border, like having no door on your house. And now that he's out of power and they've got him on the horns of the globalists, going to throw his ass in prison for years, we're going to fight harder with our writers and reporters and Dr. Corsi. We're going to get it in front of the president. And when we finally got it in front of him, he had no idea, which shows how isolated he is. So the story's bigger than our bio, though he's important. It shows how when the president gets the facts, he comes through. And that's why they're so scared of him. Stay with us.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
We've got Sheriff Joe Arpaio, former federal agent, highly decorated sheriff for decades, Maricopa County, raising the alarm that the collapse in Mexico was coming, that we were facing it here, 50 miles into Arizona, no-go zone, signs saying citizens don't go in these areas, just lawless anarchy. Poor Mexicans fleeing the tyranny, trying to come up there. He was just going after the criminals, being called a racist, having the UN come after him, everything. And then he has a kangaroo judge with no jury trying to put him in jail for basically years with made-up contempt charges doing his duty. And the president didn't know. Our listeners are like, why isn't he doing something for Arpaio? When we finally talked to him, he said, you're kidding. It was nowhere. So let's play that clip one more time and go to Sheriff Arpaio. But here's President Trump last night in Phoenix throwing down the gauntlet and standing up for an American champion.
By the way, I'm just curious. Do the people in this room like Sheriff Joe? Yeah.
Let's keep it going here. Look at that crowd. There's like 100 scumbags outside. And the media spun it, the bikers were there against Trump. Just total liars. Buy American, hire American. That means no matter what color you are. Look at that sign.
So, was Sheriff Joe convicted for doing his job? That's what. He should have had a jury, but you know what? I'll make a prediction. I think he's going to be just fine, okay?
All right. Let's go to the man himself, Sheriff Joe Arpaio. One of the few other people out there that's been through the gauntlet Trump has. I mean, just the lies, the demonization, the garbage. Trying to protect citizens, black, white, Hispanic, you name it, from the scourge that Mexico has collapsed under. So for being a guy that didn't go along with the Democrats and the establishment and the, like Trump and Sessions have said, these sanctuary cities are run by traffickers. They busted city council members, brothers, with basements full of people, and they don't pay. They torture them and sometimes kill them. This is Austin. I mean, this is a mafia. This is sick. And Arpaio stands up against it. And they finally, with George Soros money and Bloomberg money, ran him out through a fraudulent election. And now they want to put him in prison. Well, the president says, you're not doing that. But the bigger story is, as I said earlier, Trump didn't know about this because they've got him so isolated. Former sheriff of Maricopa County, former federal agent in the DEA, Sheriff Arpaio. Thank you for joining us. Wow, thanks for giving us the exclusive. You've got the floor. What it's like to see this, to see Trump come through, how they've got the CIA on TV saying they want to kill him. I mean, this country's already in a civil war, and the Democrats started it.
Well, I want to thank you, Alex, and your staff, Jerry Corsi, Roger Stone, for bringing this story out and reaching the president. And, you know, I supported him from, 2 years ago at the same forum that he did yesterday. And I'm with him, and I'm with him to the end. I feel sorry what's happening to him. But, you know, especially the media, what they're doing to him, every time he does anything, they pick on him. But you and your station, you get out there and you tell it like it is. You break stories. Sometimes you take heat. But, you know, in the long run, you're right. And you started this by saying an abuse of the system, abuse of the political system. I can go on and on. And I'll be talking about that, about this whole situation in the near future, Alex.
Honestly, you don't want to open a new case by making comments about it right now.
Pardon?
You don't want to open a new can of words and a new can of worms until the pardon comes through.
I think you're probably on track on that one. But there's a big story here. It's not about me. It's about our country. If they can get me, a guy with 55 years in law enforcement, where Holder and Obama started this 60 days after they took office, and here I am. I had two parking tickets in my life, served as a director in Mexico, South, you name it, I've been everywhere. And I'm sitting at a defense table. They already drove me out of office, Soros. And they're still continuing with going after me on this. But, you know, I don't get angry normally, but I'm a little discouraged at the federal government, which I served. I joined the Army when the Korean War broke out. But I served my country 55 years, and this is what I get for it, because they're after this sheriff and try to destroy him. So I'm a little angry, Alex. But you know what? Once again, it's people like you to get the story out, and you'll hear more of the story as time continues.
Well, specifically, obviously, the president has the paperwork. The word is, I've heard, is it's already signed. I guess they're looking for the time to do it. But it's a no-brainer for the president. They're going to demonize him for it. And I know you're not supposed to get into the case itself, but what you were doing in Phoenix versus what they said you were doing, thank God a few sheriffs block the crime wave that collapsed Mexico. You can't even go to Cancun now. There's robberies, murders, kidnapping. And I love Cancun. I love Mexico. It's collapsing. Let's talk about the state of Mexico and then this dam breaking. And then you dare try to just do some defense. Just hold your hand up to it. And you're supposedly a bad guy.
Well, having served there as a director in Mexico, I worked with Noriega. I had agents in Panama, Argentina, Bogota. So I've been around. Especially in Turkey, I cover that area. All these places are hot spots right now. But it's sad what's going on. I have to give the president a lot of credit. You know, they talk about him speaking out, you know, the Twitters, whatever you call it. No, that's a deterrence. The immigration problem, illegal, has subsided. You know why? Because the president's putting the word out. They're afraid to come over. They know they're going to jail. So the president's doing the right thing when he starts talking. And I don't know why the media has to cut him in pieces every time he says anything. It's very sad what they're doing to him.
Well, I know you were an instrumental first endorser of the president. And, you know, you guys have hung out quite a bit. They've tried to sequester him since he's been in the presidency. But did it feel good to see him? I mean, when did you, I know you can't get into details, but when did you start getting word? I kind of know the backstory, but when did you get word this was coming? What was it like to see that speech last night?
Well, I'm watching you. That's how I find out. The president has never called me. That's okay. Or his staff. I was in the dark. And I'll tell you one thing. I have to deal with the media. I had no contact with them. But that's okay. I didn't show up at the rally. I would love to go because I've been to 7 of them. But I didn't think it would be right because of possible demonstrations, riots. And why agitate the situation? I wanted to make sure the cops were safe, the people were safe. So I missed it, but that's okay. But I have a great respect and love for the president. I'm with him to the end. I don't care what anybody says. I'm with him to the end. As long as he's the president, I'll be supporting him. And he's a great guy.
Well, that's what this is. They're trying to bully all of us into basically deserting him when he's delivered so much already. And just like, I'm not going to desert you, because what you said, we're in this together. They're coming after everybody, and it's really a great brotherhood or kinship to actually be persecuted by these globalist scum. You ask, why is the media after Trump? Because they know he's for real. These are globalists. They're trying to sell the country out, Sheriff.
I know. You know, Mark Goldman talked to you. You had him on, so I have a good lawyer for a change. So I'm fighting this out, and I'm never going to surrender. And I'll tell you, I'm going to try to get the real story out about the abuse that was done. And if they can do it to me, think of that. They can do it to anybody. And that's dangerous for our country.
Well, it's going to be very, very exciting to, see the pardon. And I think the president should use his presidential power more. They're going to demonize it. They're going to call it reckless. But he's not pardoning cocaine dealers and child smugglers like Bill Clinton. He's pardoning a guy with no criminal record that executed the law.
Yeah, you know, I got 2 parking tickets in my life. Think of that. I'm a senior citizen. And after 55 years, I have to sit behind a defense table? For what? For a misdemeanor? Get the same time for barking dogs? Because they went after me the day before early voting, the Department of Justice? And that was under Obama. And then 2 weeks later, they went after, charged me for a misdemeanor, contempt of court. And I'm not going to get into that situation now, but I'll tell you, I'll get into it very soon. And then the media constantly say I'm a racial profiler. Nothing came out racial profiling. It's because I use the word race on a criteria where the Department of Justice authorized me to do. We were sworn.
Well, that's what it says on the forms, buying a gun or getting a driver's license or being enrolled at a police station. It says that right there.
Yeah, and the judge I'm before now, I'm not going to get into it. She's the one that handled the 1070, and the Supreme Court came out and said that you can stop people and ask them for their, pursuant to the probable cause, and ask them for their papers or where they're from. I mean, what's the big deal? I've been doing it a long time ago. Now, here's what's happening to me. But that's where I'm a big guy. I can take care of myself. But once again, I have to. You know what? I had a gut feeling. I think they came out four hours before the rally. The press secretary and said that he will not talk about this. You know what? Everybody said he won't talk about it. Deep in my heart, knowing him, I knew he was going to talk about it. I had no communication with anybody. So you know what? He did talk about it. And I'm very happy that he's back to the old, to speak out. That's the way he is. That's why people love him. And that's why the media hates him.
That's right. We finally have a president that's actually being the president. And who isn't a coward, and who is just trying to do fair deals. They've really hated you for a long time. Why did they single you out in one of America's biggest cities? Why did the establishment hate Sheriff Joe Arpaio so much? Because, look, you got the president on your side. The pardon's coming. I know your lawyers are like, hey, be careful. And I've had your lawyer on. He's a great guy, certainly. But this is a time for speech. It's a time for freedom. Time to celebrate what's happening and standing up and not being intimidated. And Trump isn't intimidated. That's why they hate him. You weren't intimidated. And that's why they get freaked out. You have your own inner compass. You know you're a good person. You know you're not a racist. And so you're doing what you think you need to do. That's what they hate. Why do they hate you so much? And where do you see all this going? Where do you see America going? What do we do to not just stand up for Sheriff Arpaio, but all of ourselves, whether we're old, young, black, white, Hispanic, doesn't matter, against these globalists?
You know, I'm a nice guy when you get right down to it. I'm not going to get into my personal life and so on. Been married 60 years. By the way, it's my wife's birthday 48 hours from now, so I'm very happy because, she's concerned. She followed me all over the world. I had a lot of threats. People were arrested, trying to kill me and all that. Won't get into that. But you know what? I'm an elected sheriff. I was a bureaucrat for all those years as a cop in D.C., Vegas, Army. But now I was an elected sheriff. And I feel that being elected, I have to do what the people want me to do. I did. I've been sheriff 24 years, longest in history. They go after me because of the tents, and I can talk on and on and on But we've done some great things. But they don't want to hear that, these activists that want to get rid of this.
By the way, those tents are better than all the mass graves across the border.
Yeah, and our military are living in tents fighting for their country. So the new guy, of course, took everything down. I'm not going to get, even though Soros gave him $4 million to win the election.
Well, then go after him, Sheriff. Do it. I mean, believe me, Trump's fighting. Tell us what you think about Soros, that Nazi collaborator.
Well, he went after me for illegal immigration, and he said the tents have to go. But there's another thing I'm not going to talk about now, why I feel he really went after me, and I'm not going to get into birth certificates right now. But this is a bigger subject matter, and we'll address that in the near future.
Well, I've been asking the question, Sheriff, but the time we have left, you've got the floor. What do you want to cover? The world's listening. This is going to get picked up everywhere. You got 7-8 minutes. You got the floor, Sheriff. Tell us.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you again. I don't blame the president. He's got a lot on his plate. But I'm pretty sure he didn't know about this.
No, no. I've talked to folks that talked to him, and I'm going to leave it at that. He did not know and didn't believe it when he was told a month ago.
Well, where are those people that I knew on the campaign? But, you know, that's the bureaucracy. People want to isolate the president sometimes.
They're all greedy. They wouldn't contact. I mean, the times I've talked to the president, I didn't ask for anything. I said, cut the taxes. No, we believe in you. Defend the troops. Defend the border. Defend Christianity. Stop radical Islam. And I'm not saying I'm a great guy. Lobbying him to be strong and good helps my family. Not asking for a family member job. And that's all these pissants want, Arpaio, is like when they talk to him, they just want their little thing. They don't get we're going to lose everything if they don't stop being little schmucks.
Well, you know, I think I've been on 4,000 TV interviews overseas. I'm not even talking about locally. So I do deal with the media. You know, how are you going to get the word out, Alex, if you don't deal with the media?
Exactly.
I don't have money to publicize, so I deal with them. Okay, there's a lot of good reporters, a lot of good stations. But you get aggravated sometimes. I know how he feels when they nitpick him on everything he does, certain channels. You know that. And that's sad. They ought to be supporting him. Talk about the good things for the good of our country that he's doing. So I feel sorry for him and his family, too. They're going after his family, too.
Well, exactly. That's how big a champion? Because that's what I'm saying. Don't think me. You are me. You're Trump. I'm you. We're under attack. We're doing this. Let me tell you, buddy, me defending you is defending me. I believe me, I get that. Folks don't get that basic thing. Hang together, hang separate. Benjamin Franklin. Americans need to rediscover that.
Well, you're correct, Alex, and I'm not going to, you know, I don't watch it that much. I'm beginning to watch it now, but I've been on your show years ago. You know, they give you a bad reputation, but how many times have you said things that have come true? People don't talk about that, so, you know, and you use common sense. A lot of your predictions are common sense, you know, being around. By the way, you're from Austin. I was head of the federal drug enforcement there in Texas, covered your area. I didn't know you were in Texas, but some good people come from Texas, too, you know.
Exactly. Well, also what they do to you and me and everybody in Trump is they build a straw man. They say we said something. Notice they never show the video. And then they just put fake quotes. Fake news is so bad. I've never seen the media this bad. Why do you think they're doing that?
They don't like the president, let me tell you. And there's a lot of people on both sides of the aisle that don't like him. You know why? Because he's doing his job and he's outspoken. He's keeping his promises. They don't like that. The bureaucracy. I know. I've been in Washington 3 times with some high jobs. I know how they operate. He's different. So why not give in? Let him do his job. Take advantage of it for the good of our country. He's great overseas. I think he knows more than any Secretary of State.
We haven't had a president like this in forever. They just love him overseas. But our media says everybody hates him.
Yeah, of course. They love him over there. You know why? I'll never forget, just briefly, when I took over Mexico City, they hated us because G. Gordon Liddy and I ran an operation, intercept, so the Mexicans hated us. So I took over. I met the Attorney General. He used to come to my house. You know how I got him on my side? He liked blueberry pie. My wife kept pumping out blueberry pie. I threw some whiskey from the PX. I got more done with blueberry pie and whiskey than a big stick. That's how you do it. You go in the back room, light up a cigar, make a deal. And he's making some good deals. You'll never hear about it. they always criticize them, whether the first, what the first lady wears. What is this?
Exactly. Wow. Sheriff Arpaio, what is it like, though? Is it surreal to see the president preparing to pardon you for doing your job? I mean, that has got to be surreal.
Well, he'll know more as time goes on what the real story is on this situation. I'm not going to keep quiet. Not for me, but because it affects everybody. If they can do this to me, Alex, they can do it to you. They can do it to everybody. That's not right.
Well, you know why, you know why they're panicking? It's because Trump, when he gets info and evidence, he'll make good decisions. That's why they're trying to isolate him. And I'm really worried with Bannon out and all this other stuff that's going on. He's stronger than ever, but he is just in the swamp. And I just, it's not like some football game where you want your team to win. This is beyond that. This is so real for my children, everything else. And the left wants riots, civil war, death, you know, cop killing. It's just, and then they're saying, they said he wanted civil war when they're calling for civil war, Sheriff Arpaio, and they've got a Phil Mudd, former director of counterterrorism for the CIA, saying, quote, 2 weeks ago, we're preparing to kill the president. That is a total rogue government out of control. Why isn't he arrested?
Well, I think the president should start cracking down and get some people that are willing to have the guts to do that. I'm not going to criticize the federal government, but I think they ought to start bringing people in that have the protection of the president. I'll use the word loyalty. You know what? If you work, the people that work for you, those people have to be loyal to you. You're their boss. The president is the boss. So you ought to be loyal to carry out his policies. And if you don't like it, go get another job. That's in private interest, private industry anywhere. Not that you're going to do something.
No, you're loyal under the Constitution. He's totally executing it, so you're totally loyal. I just cannot. I've never felt such loyalty as I feel towards Trump. I just feel it's very empowering, actually.
Yeah, I feel sorry for him, but you know what? He's tough. And I said this when I first introduced him 2 years ago in Phoenix. It was kind of an empty platform, a stage, if you know what I mean. He was running against 17 people. But you know what I said? He's going to be the next president. And I'm going to say something right now. My gut tells me he'll go down as one of the greatest presidents we had, have ever had in this country. Mark my words. When it's all over, that's what his reputation.
Stay there. Let's do a few more minutes. I know you got to go, Sheriff Arpaio. Legendary fight against tyranny. We're going to come back and talk about that, more of that, because you got cut off by the music. I want to talk about, I agree. I think if he delivers, he'll be as great as George Washington. There'll be a Trump monument, folks. It's bigger than Washington. This is it. This is real.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
The world is a dangerous place, not because of evil, but because of those who look on and do nothing. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man.
All right, it is surreal to have Sheriff Joe Arpaio, with his long service, the Army, DEA, sheriff for decades there in Maricopa County, George Soros, Bloomberg, just millions and millions and millions of piece dumped in. Now the Southern Poverty Law Center is being given billions of dollars, hundreds of millions every few months, I see, to run YouTube and Google, and they're banning Jihad Watch and groups that just expose Hamas and Al-Qaeda groups. I mean, they'll show like a clip of an imam saying, kill Americans, kill cops, blow up, and then they go, you can't do that. Like Germany, where they arrest you for it. So you really understand the Democrats have demographically looked at Islam with 1.5 billion people. They're going to have something like by 2026, 2027, 10 years from now, 3 billion. And they've made their demographic choice. The weird, crazy left is going to join with radical Orthodox Islam. And they're sexualizing our children, and they are running rampant, saying kill the president all over the news. And it is a civil war they've started. And then they say the president is involved in the destabilization when all his speeches are, let's love each other, let's come together, let's take care of our elderly, our veterans, let's get jobs back. And then he delivers despite Republican and Democrat opposition. And I say, let's have everybody run against these neocons and fake conservatives and Democrats, and let's break the trance and see this big realignment we already saw last year. 900-plus House seats in the states, 30-plus states, Republican governors, Senate, House. The media is acting all crazy and acting confident and saying Trump's dementia or Trump's evil or Trump's going to die because they're desperate. The Republican and Democratic establishment are hanging on by their fingernails. That's my view. Sheriff Joe Arpaio, I'd like you to speak to that. And, you know, what do we do as citizens when they're on every major channel saying kill the president, martial law, arrest all the conservatives, shut down talk radio? I mean, they're really calling for some tall orders. And I go, oh, that's just crazy. You won't get it done. But, you know, they've got a lot done before. What do we do? Because we're not extremists. We sound crazy even covering what they're saying. It doesn't sound real. But it's happening. What do you think with your guts and your gravitas and your acumen and your history, your knowledge, your wisdom? What do you think we should do? Where is America? What do you want to say to President Trump?
Well, first of all, I've said this for many, many years. I learned one thing, especially in the federal government, that the president sets the tempo. He sets the tone. And this president is setting the tempo and the tone. The problem is you have to have people that will follow out his policies, not try to beat him down or oppose him. And I worry sometimes about the bureaucracy, Alex. I mean, where is the real loyalty? A lot of people don't like this president, actually don't like him. So you know what? Those in the government that don't like him, not going to follow his policies, get rid of him. I don't know why it's taken this long to make changes. For example, the integrity unit that went after me under Lynch and Holder, the same people are there. Why aren't they changing these people? That's you have the opening of the...
They just ignore the president's orders. Maybe he should call you up there to help with that.
Well, you know what? I'm not looking for a job. And, you know, when the president calls, everybody says, oh, I have to serve my country. I have to go. Well, that's okay. I understand that. That's patriotism. However, if he called me, it would be very difficult for me to turn him down because I will do anything to help him out. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not.
No, I get it. Aren't you like 85?
You have to give that out?
No, you look like you're about 70. My point is you've got such stamina, such energy. I understand you don't want more work. You deserve to rest. But absolutely, I would imagine somebody like you is chomping at the bit to keep doing his duty.
I'm not fishing. I'm still active. And it's always, you know, Joe Smith Jr., Joe Smith Sr., me, it's Joe Arpaio, 85 years old. Every time they mention my name, they have to put 85 next to it. I'll outgun anybody.
But Joe, you know, I think it's an honor, like Obi-Wan Kenobi, that you've done so much and that you're so vibrant. I meant that as a laurel that you're 85.
It's the Italian olive oil. Always my mother and father that came from Italy. Drink the olive oil.
No, I agree, but just get it clear for me. When I'm 85, I want to be like Joe Arpaio. When I'm 71, I mean, look at Trump. Looks like he's 60 for 71. What a bull.
That's right. We were born the same day, you know. You know, I was born on Flag Day. He was born on Flag Day. And I'm going to tell you something, Alex. I've been the honorary chairman for Bush, Mitt Romney, Perry. You know, and all these people I endorse, they always say, don't say this, say that. Not once has the president or his staff ever told me what to say, what not to say. Made it difficult because when I'm introducing him all the time, I don't know if I'm going to say something that will hurt him. But I will say this. We've been traveling the same highway. 95% we think the same way without any collusion or
you're synced. You're saying you're synced up. You're synced with the president.
Yes, without even exchanging information or what to say. Think of that. I've never seen this before where a candidate will let you go along, do what you want to do, not tell you what to say. He's never done that.
But that's why they hate him, because the globalists want to script everything, and he doesn't script, he doesn't teleprompter, he doesn't make you do it. He knows you're a good guy. He respects you and lets you talk. That's why the political class of these nobodies that get control, these gatekeepers, that's why they fear Joe Arpaio. It's why they fear Donald John Trump. And I think if they miscalculate and kill him, that it's going to blow up in their face. I don't want a violent civil war, though, folks. Win politically, withdraw your money from globalist groups, liberal groups, and just support patriots. What are your concerns about their attempts to kill him? What do you think would happen, Joe Arpaio, if they killed the president?
Well, first of all, it would be a sad day for our country. But number two, anybody that talks about any threats, throw them in jail. You know, I've been threatened, I don't know how many times. At least we lock our people up to threaten me. Those that threaten me go to jail. So I'm concerned about him. I really am. A lot of kooks out there. A lot of them out there. So I do have that concern about our president. But, you know, he's not going to stop. He's going to do what he's been doing. He's going to have his rallies. He's going to do, and let's hope that the Secret Service and law enforcement protect him. And because, you know, he loves the cops. He loves veterans. He loves the military. I know. I've been with him. I know how he reacts. So he's just a great guy. People will leave him alone.
I was about to say, they blocked his inauguration. I couldn't get in for 3 hours. They beat everybody up. Then they said nobody was there when it was a record crowd. And then I know the Secret Service, I've talked to him. He said, I don't care. He goes, I can't give in to their intimidation and fear. When he got out for miles and walked to the front of the motorcade, this is an act of defiance against them and their threats. And I don't. He loves life, but he's very fatalistic. And, you know, I'm the same way. When I was in Seattle, they were in the news saying, you come out, we're going to kill you. So I went out and marched around unguarded, and they even attacked me. Because at a certain point, the cowards need to know, you could take my life, but you're not taking what I stand for. They're the cowards. They need to know we're not afraid.
That's right. I was there at the inauguration, too. And I'll tell you a secret. At the convention, everybody was asking me, when am I going to speak? And I got no message, but I was able to get in to see the president by accident when he was relaxing. And he had a few people, I won't mention who was near him. And I went up to him. I said, Mr. President, well, at that time he wasn't the president, but I mentioned that don't you ever think that I turned down speaking, you know, for you on the stage. He went bananas. You mean you're not speaking? Nope, nobody told me. Boy, I'll tell you. Once again, they isolated him from me. But you know what? I did speak. Actually, I got a better good spot at the last night. But he doesn't know a lot of things that are occurring. He's got
a lot
of.
You know what's more important in this video we're watching? He put his wife and his kids out front, too, and they were willing to do it. That's a commitment right there.
He's got a great family. You know, I've been married, 60 years, and I have four grandkids and my wife. Has been around the world. She's a tough gal, but she loves Trump. And I know that he thanked, when he found out my wife had cancer, when I was in federal court, he called her and he's followed up with those calls several times to see how my wife is doing. He didn't need to use my wife to get me to support him because I was hooked with him from day one. I didn't have to use my wife. So this is came.
I'll tell you a story. I've had one divorce, unfortunately, but my new wife, I got married and not even tell anybody. It was a secret. He found out about it and called me to talk to her when I was in Hawaii in January. And he wasn't doing it as a stunt. He's all about family. He's all about people. He understands humans are the value, workers, factories, firemen, police, school teachers, farmers. He likes people. He's not a globalist. All these European leaders and socialists, none of them have kids. They're not committed. They're little selfish people. Trump's got a whole bunch of kids, a bunch of life. I'm not here to grovel. It's just comparing him to an Obama or to a Bill Clinton. I mean, it's night and day.
Well, you're right. And I want to thank you again. You know, sometimes you disagree with the president. He can't be perfect. But I want to thank you again, Alex, because you're getting that word out. You can't rely on certain news channels. You know that. Absolutely.
Well, your story's big because when he saw the facts, he didn't know, got upset, did something. We're going to see this pardon. It's great. And we're all in this together. Sheriff Joe, when the pardon comes down, promise me, I don't even care if we're the first, because we love Hannity, everybody else, thanks for giving us the first one. Please come on and give us all the backstory once you're free of this spurious kangaroo court garbage. But again, thank you so much for joining. I know you've got some websites, other stuff. How do folks find you? How do they follow you? What's the best way for people to keep track of a guy that basically swam against the stream and won?
Well, I don't have a computer. I have a Smith Corona typewriter, and I don't have Twitters. I don't have emails.
Well, I know you've got some sites and stuff with Zulo and stuff. So when he's on next, we'll plug all those.
Yeah, Mike's a good guy. He's a good guy. So anyway, I want to thank you, Alex.
All right, Sheriff, we appreciate you. We know you got a lot to do today. We appreciate you being, honorable and hat-tipping that we were behind the scenes. We didn't even talk about it publicly, thinking it might get kiboshed. We care about the results. And if they're setting me up, I know you're going to come to my aid. Because let me tell you, I know what you've been through. It's really been rough for me. And I asked for it, but you find out how evil they are. You're like, damn, these people are really bad. It makes you recommit to fight them.
Yes. But take care of yourself.
All right. Any other points you forgot to make? Just final comment.
No, just stay tuned. I'm not done yet. So we'll figure out what happens in the near future.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, about to be pardoned by the president. This is historic. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, I think it's not that we're good. It's that we mean well. We don't have bad will. We know we're bad. We're fallen. I'm a Christian. I know that. I'm an evil person. But I want to be good. And that's the difference. But this is a microcosm of everything, because this is going to be in thousands of newspapers that we have the exclusive. It's going to be all over. It's going to help us. But I didn't, early on, when they did this, no one was covering it. I said, it's wrong. No one's doing this. It's wrong. We got to get to the president. Let's write articles every 2 days for months to get our pile coverage, because I was protecting myself. See, when you step into this, you then hook up with all these other people. And when they're chopping him up, like he kept saying, they're getting me. They kill Arpaio. They've hurt me. They put him in prison. They hurt his family. That's me. That's not some talk. That means you mess with people that I know are honorable and have done a good job and who are politically incorrect and who are being demonized and who a lot of world people say, oh, that's a failure. Soros destroyed him. The UN sued him. They won. No, they didn't. Because, you see, we've got the president, and he's going to be pardoned, and it's a symbol in their face of the higher power. Because everything we do here on Earth is just a mirror of what's above, as above, so below, to use their alchemy terms. And so then they understand how it works. But the ultimate pardon's when you die. Because we are all bad. And what you want is the big pardon. And man, I used to doubt that, but now I've lived a long time. Feels like 1,000 years, actually. And I have seen it's evil. When you hear the same thing out of somebody's mouth, the same weird stuff nobody else ever said in one city, and you hear it in another, and the person literally growls at you, and you're like, this is Linda Blair. This is real. This isn't made up. This isn't somebody mentally ill. This isn't somebody acting. This is a damn demon. And the moment that happens to you, and somebody says something to you about something happened a month before that nobody knows, and you're looking at somebody who looks like a goblin and is talking and smiling and saying, we're going to get you, and they just said something nobody knows, you're like, what the hell's going on here? And the leftists all know this, but they're fallen. They know this is all real. And that's where, oh, there's no God, there's nothing, it's all science. Oh, just go away. Oh, let's have your kids, by the way. Because they only get let off the leash when they're brainwashing a kid, dumbing a kid down, ruining their innocence. That's kind of the low level. Then it's corrupt your child, have sex with your child, abuse your child, kill your child. And they only, I've talked to top psychiatrists that treated Dahmer, all of them. I forget, she's a famous lady. She's on History Discovery Channel. Heard her on Coast to Coast AM once. She's been on the show. What's her name? She's the doctor to psychopaths. And I said, you know, I saw it in the movie, the remake of The Manchurian Candidate with Denzel Washington, where he's not even alive until they give him the code words, and everything's blazing white, and he's alive, and he feels great when he's carrying out the operations. And I said, I've talked to people, and I've experienced it when I was a little bit younger and almost went that direction, I should be honest with folks, that it's like everything's white hot, everything's slow motion, and all there is a just evil. And I never was fully turned over to it, but just little glimpses of like, you could have this. And that's what they are. Psychopaths are like zombies that have nothing and are totally depressed and tortured and unhappy. It's not like they don't have feelings. That's all a lie. Inside of their world, they are tortured. And only when they've got a kid in a basement torturing them and they're begging for mommy do they even feel good. Then they feel really good. It's a drug. But other than that, they don't feel bad. So see, these writers and reporters and people, they don't even feel good till they're doing bad. And those are the deep secrets right there. Sounds really hardcore, but it's basically criminology. And it's the truth. That's why so many good men go to war, but then get seduced by the dark side. We'll be back. I'm almost ashamed to come before you and say fundus, but if you only turned loose the power you have financially, my job would be a lot easier. And I'm not complaining. You've already done so much. We sell the vests to supplements. They're just things that everybody's deficient in, most folks. Real pure iodine your body can absorb. X2. I said the sale went in yesterday. I've got it right after this broadcast ends. And who's taking over? Owen Schroyer. And that's going to be Mike Cernovich Friday. Roger Stone's tomorrow. He's on a plane today out to L.A. on some important work. But tomorrow we'll have some new specials. There'll be some great specials on what specials are. We always have great specials, but it won't be as expansive because this is 2 months of specials combined. And I said it would go to the end of the month, but with 7 days left, I have to stop it because 4 things have sold out, 2 are about to, and some of these things I'm not getting for months. We just got word on one of the batches. It doesn't pass California standards of DNA force. So we have to send the lot back and then wait months till it comes in because we want to pass California standards that nobody else does. But I wanted to burn BuzzFeed and everybody when they finally tested us. So we do California standards, hence the problem. I mean, it's all a scam. Lawyers wrote the law, Prop 65, so that there's more lead in the air than there is in the products. But you can get stuff from sources if you really try that is basically completely clean. So that's what they said. Okay, there's nothing bad in it. Excuse me. But it's overpriced. And then, of course, we were selling the same stuff they were promoting for $35 for $17.76. That's all going to end today. It's got to end. I'm leaving in 10 minutes to walk 50 yards into another meeting room, and I'm going to look at everything and try to come up with the new stuff. Kind of cheap, chief cook and bottle washer around here. I didn't get to a handful of these clips that everybody did a great job, but I'm telling Owen Schroyer, don't be like me. Come on, play the 15 clips we've got, comment on them, talk about them, get them all in. Because I want to take more calls and I want to play the clips. I have them get all these great clips that are so important and then I don't get to them. So that's all coming up in the next hour. Infowars.com has a lot of it posted, newswars.com. But just briefly here, Infowarsstore.com. We are doing pretty good. But my gut tells me I've got to sue some people because they're cutting everybody else off and trying to cut us off. And I put up with it and just go, well, I'm doing okay right now. Then I'm giving in to them. So I got to fight them. I'm not looking for a fight, but you know what? You're going to punch me upside the head. I'm going to get you. But I'm not going to just throw a punch and do nothing. I want to get a full uppercut when your mouth's open and break your teeth off. And if you need another measure, I'll punch you right in the throat. And if that doesn't do it, I'll stomp you on the head politically. And we kind of done all that, haven't we? And we're beating the hell out of them. But they're coming back at us. And the knives they shove into me actually feel good. I'll be honest. I just want to make sure my heart keeps pumping all the way until I've squeezed the life out of their little chicken neck. Then I can roll over and die. But we're going to beat these people. And as long as you financially support us, as long as you realize that they're trying to block us, our articles, our videos, constantly, and that the act of you getting those out is victory over this trash, and that we're not just doing it in vain, that is so wonderful. We've won the marketplace of ideas. And that's why the globalists are coming after us, is because we didn't take the deal. We didn't get down on our knees so the devil could unzip his pants and do what he does. And the devil didn't just want to destroy everybody. I wouldn't fight so hard. But there's no giving in to something like this. There's no quarter. And it's not like you just give in, the devil kills you, and it goes away. He gets you forever. So if you don't want to be in that old farmhouse down in that basement with the devil pulling your teeth out forever, I suggest you do everything you can to beat these folks. And if not for yourself, for the children. Fourth hour straight ahead. I've got a few clips I'm going to play. And then Owen Schroyer is coming in. Spread the link.
Visit Infowars.com.
Spread the link.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen. Right here on The Alex Jones Show.
So Trump's saying he's looked at NAFTA. It's a one-sided rape job by a bunch of bipartisan scum. What a beautiful statement. Here's that clip.
One of the worst deals that anybody in history has ever entered into. We have begun formal renegotiation with Mexico and Canada on NAFTA.
Boy, all the folks that sold us out are pissed.
And I must be honest, and I've been talking about NAFTA for a long time, and I'm sorry it's taken 6 months, but we have to give notice. You have to see this. We have to give notice. And after the notice is given, you have to wait a long time. Then you have to give another, then you have to wait a long time. Anyway, we started 2 days ago, Bob Lighthizer. Personally, I don't think we can make a deal because we have been so badly taken advantage of. They have made such great deals, both of the countries, but in particular Mexico, that I don't think we can make a deal. So I think we'll end up probably terminating NAFTA at some point. Okay, probably. But I told you from the first day, we will renegotiate NAFTA or we will terminate NAFTA. I personally don't think you can make a deal without a termination, but we're going to see what happens, okay? You're in good hands, I can tell you.
See, globalists get off on lying. Trump gets off on telling the truth. See, there's not just committed liars. There's committed truth tellers. That's what this is all about. Let's go ahead and go to another clip. Trump, if we have to close down our government, we're building that wall. Here it is.
Build that wall. Now, the obstructionist Democrats would like us not to do it, but believe me, if we have to close down our government, we're building that wall. Let me be very clear.
And it's just a symbol. Mexico's got a wall, too. Let's go ahead. This is an important clip. Democrats have a vision of total socialism. This is probably the most important clip. Here it is.
All of the Democrats in Congress, that's the only thing they do well. They do one thing well. You know what it's called? They have no ideas. They have no policies. They obstruct. That's all they do. Their word is, we resist. They don't resist. It's all they're good at. It's all they're good at. That's all they do. On health care, they have 48 Democrats. We got no votes. We got no votes. And it would have been great health care. And by the way, health care for Arizona would have been great. So the Democrats have no ideas, no policy, no vision for the country. Other than total socialism, and maybe unsocialism from what I'm seeing.
Let's stop that. That's a muddy clip for tomorrow. Everybody's great, by the way. Let's find the clear one from whitehouse.gov. That is really, it's just so, I was watching that for an hour and 15 minutes last night, just his speech. It was so truthful. it made me sick that he did this Afghanistan thing, which is not his creation, but he's making it his problem. And a lot of folks think it's really dumb, but I guess we're going to see if Mattis and all them are right. A lot of folks tell me the word is this is actually a build up to pull out. And if that's the case, then he's better than I thought he was. But he's not Hillary out to get us. And it's not a lesser of two evils. I've got 70, 80 people working here. And they're great people. But just communications and problems and breakdowns, it's a headache. I couldn't imagine 4,000 executive branch, millions of people in the government, most of them moles put in by Obama blocking him. I mean, it's like watching some guy trying to push a piano that doesn't even have wheels up a mountainside. And you're going, hey, you know, do a little bit of better job doing it. You just stumbled there. And it's just like, all I'm saying is my gut says Trump's good. And man, the older I've gotten, even though my brain's not as good as it used to be, I just have a photographic memory. I learned one thing. My gut's always right. And my gut just loves Donald John Trump. We'll be back with Owen Schroyer, more clips, your phone calls, a ton of news in the fourth hour. I'm Alex Jones. This is the InfoWar.
Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
Well, Donald Trump could save 100 humans from a burning building, and CNN would come out and criticize him if a cat had a hair on his tail singed. So he comes out, he has an amazing rally last night, and then all of the attack dogs in the media come out. They spin his words, they twist his words. Actually, they don't even play his words. They just lie and make things up. We've got a few more clips from the Trump rally. He calls out Antifa by name last night, and then they get violent in the streets. Here's President Trump naming Antifa.
How did he get in here? He's supposed to be with a few people outside. How about all week they're talking about the massive crowds that are going to be outside. Where are they? Well, it's hot out. It is hot. I think it's too warm. You know, they show up in the helmets and the black masks, and they've got clubs and they've got everything. Antifa!
That's actually kind of perfect the way he makes fun of them. He's like, they show up with their black faces covered and their clubs and Antifa! Woo! Like, Antifa! Like, I wanted to do this thing. They chant anti-fascist in the street. They go, ah, anti-fascista. I want to troll and be like, ah, anti-Jemima. And just like have like syrup out or something. We just need to start trolling these people because they're just basement dwelling. I don't want to be mean to these people. But Trump labels Antifa last night, right before they decided to riot and incite a riot outside the streets. But he also addressed real issues. He talked about the infrastructure. Maybe if we fixed our infrastructure, there wouldn't be as many Antifa protesters. Here's President Trump on infrastructure.
We're going to do an infrastructure bill. We will build gleaming new roads, bridges, highways, railways, waterways, all across our beautiful land. Our greatest creations, our most incredible buildings, our most beautiful works of art are just waiting to be brought to life. American hands will build this future. American energy will power this future. We have become an energy exporter for the first time ever just recently.
And it's time to start seeing all the ridiculous amount that we pay in taxes actually go towards our infrastructure and not infrastructure in another country far, far away that you most likely will never visit. So hopefully we start to see that. I mean, that's stuff that, again, will unify America, even though this speech was divisive, according to CNN, and angry when he's talking about infrastructure like that. I mean, how dare he? So two of the things, though, that he can do when he gives these speeches, and he did both of them last night. One, he did a linear breakdown of how he reacted to Charlottesville versus what the media was saying about him, what liars like Paul Ryan were saying about him. He breaks it down linearly and says, look, here's what I said on this time at this date, And then here's what they said I didn't say. And then they said this about me after that. So he just clearly shows they're liars. Another thing he did, which will help us make Congress great again in 2018, was he identified some of the rhinos in Congress, like John McCain, like Jeff Flake, and he got quite a stir out of the crowd. Here's that clip.
One vote away, I will not mention any names. Very presidential, isn't it? Very presidential. And nobody wants me to talk about your other senator, who's weak on borders, weak on crime, so I won't talk about him.
You know McCain and Flake are just
nobody
squirming.
Nobody wants me to talk about him. Nobody knows who the hell he is.
Jeff Flake.
And now, see, I haven't mentioned any names. So now everybody's happy. But we are going to get rid of Obamacare. I will never stop. One vote. I will never stop. We're going to get rid of Obamacare.
7 years of empty promises from rhino Republicans like McCain, Flake, McConnell, Ryan. These are the people. This is the swamp that we need the trash man Trump to drain. So we saw what happened last night. He gives a unifying speech, a powerful speech. Immediately after that, Antifa starts rioting in the streets, assaulting people, assaulting police officers, acting like beyond petulant children. It's adult versions of petulant children. Imagine a petulant child throwing a temper tantrum and then add, give or take, 20 years to that. And this is the people that you have in the streets protesting Trump. But it's not just them. I noticed that the UN is now coming hard after Trump today. And I first noticed it with this story from the New York Times. UN panel condemns Trump's response to Charlottesville violence. So they're not dropping this. They're going to keep bringing this up, even though he's disavowed the whole thing. And I thought we were moving on, right? I mean, we forgot about the whole Russia thing. Why can't we move on from the Charlottesville thing? No, they want to hold on to this. This is their baby. They're nurturing this, and they're going to turn it into removing all these statues, all these monuments, removing history, bringing back Nazis, bringing back all of this, the KKK, to pretend like this is a threat, to make you think that Nazis and the KKK is what you really need to be threatened with, the alt-right. So the UN panel condemns Trump's response to Charlottesville violence, even though we know what they're trying to do here. But here's the story from the New York Times. President Trump's seesawing response, to the deadly racial violence in Charlottesville, racial violence. A white man is said to have ran over a white woman. So what's the racial violence there? President Trump's seesawing response. He's seesawing the deadly racial violence. We're all racist. It's race violence everywhere, that the mainstream media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, they're the ones pushing this. But see, they're saying now that it's Trump's response that's been rebuked by countless politicians, business executives, community groups, and religious leaders. So here's Trump being forced to disavow all of this. And again, you have to continue to reiterate this. Everything that Trump is being forced to disavow is a product of the left. Nazis, a socialist party, the KKK, a Democrat invention, the alt-right, coined by Hillary Clinton, ran with by Richard Spencer, to which everybody is disavowing now. So he has to disavow these things created by the left. It's the most unbelievable thing ever. It goes on. Now the United Nations has weighed in too. A body of United Nations experts on Wednesday denounced the failure at the highest political level of the United States of America to unequivocally reject and condemn racist violence. And I quote, they are at the UN deeply concerned by the example this failure could set for the rest of the world. So that's nice. The UN now completely ignores reality. Just he's never disavowed. He's never denounced. Look at all the racial violence that Trump has caused. Not CNN, not Van Jones, not Rachel Maddow. No, not MSNBC, not them. It was all Trump, not Obama, not demonizing the police, not the Chuck Schumers. It's all Trump's fault. Not the New York Times, not the UN lying about Trump. And then in the story, they even have to admit, this is the most incredible thing about it. In the story, they even say Trump singled out the Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis, and white supremacists for condemnation. So they write the whole premise, the entire premise of this article is that he never condemned the Ku Klux Klan. He never condemned the neo-Nazis. He never condemned the white supremacists. That's the entire premise of this story. That's why the UN panel is condemning Trump's response to Charlottesville violence, because the premise is he never condemned the Ku Klux Klan, the Nazis, the white supremacists, even though in the exact story, they have to admit he did. Wow, folks. The United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination invoked, I quote, early action and urgent warning procedures in deploying the violence and urging the United States to investigate. Well, Trump's administration is investigating. They don't mention that. The urgent warning procedure allows the committee to draw attention to situations that could, quote, spiral into terrible events and require immediate action. I'll go on here. The committee called the Charlottesville violence horrifying and said it was alarmed by the racial demonstrations with overtly racist slogans, chants, and salutes by individuals belonging to groups of white nationalists, neo-Nazis, KKK, promoting white supremacy, inciting racial discrimination and hatred. So the mainstream media incites all the racial discrimination, incites all the hatred. Obama administration, they do all that. No mention of that. No mention of Hillary Clinton and Robert Byrd. No mention of Hillary Clinton's comments about black people. No mention of Bill Clinton's son, who's Danny Williams, who's half black, that he completely shoved to the side. So no mention of all that. The committee cited two victims by name, Heather Heyer, who we've all heard of, and DeAndre Harris, who I hadn't heard of until I read this story, who was savagely beaten by white supremacist wielding poles. But again, zero on Antifa, zero on leftist violence. What happened at UC Berkeley? What happened at the Trump event in Chicago? What's happened to all these Trump supporters that get beer bottles smashed in their face and have to have surgery? What about them? What happened to the GOP committeeman who got shot by his neighbor, his anti-Trump hating neighbor who had anti-Trump signs in his yard, then goes out and shoots his neighbor? What happened to Steve Scalise? Nothing. None of that. None of that from the New York Times. All of it's Trump's fault, even though they have to admit in their own story he denounced everything they're saying he didn't denounce. So then Zero Hedge picks it up, and they put a new angle on this that needs to be looked at. United Nations issues rare early warning signals potential civil war conflict in America. United Nations committee tasked with combating racism on a global scale has issued an ultra-rare early warning for the United States. As StockboardAsset.com notes, this rare signal often preludes the potential for civil conflict. We've seen it in Burundi, Iraq, Ivory Coast, and so on, Nigeria. So is the UN ready to come in? Is that what they're saying? They're going to declare civil war, and then the UN is going to come to our streets to stop racial violence? I didn't elect the UN. Did you? If the UN wants to stop racial discrimination, shut down CNN and MSNBC now.
We've got it. We've got it. Got it.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Owen Schroyer here, fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. And last night, we did special coverage of Trump's Phoenix rally. And I was reminded afterwards why I made the transition from sports media into politics. Because for the first time in my life, when I tuned in to CNN, when I tuned in to MSNBC, when I tuned into mainstream news to get news, to figure out what was going on, I'd never had before in my life. And I felt so violated. I felt so just slimy and disgusting watching these people spew lies, watching these people sit up there, knowingly lie, knowingly omit facts, knowingly spread fake information. And it felt so violating. It made me so mad that I had to get out of sports media and get into politics. And then here we are last night. Trump gives the most unifying speech you could possibly give as an American president. And the attack dogs, the sycophants in the mainstream media come out and say it was divisive. And it just reminded me, these people are literally the scum of the earth. And it's so hard for people to comprehend that someone would actually be that conscious of a liar, that someone would consciously sit there and just be a total phony. So let's go to some of the highlights from the disgusting, despicable, treasonous trash CNN Don Lemon show last night after Trump's speech.
What do you say to that? I'm just going to speak from the heart here. What we have witnessed was a total eclipse of the facts.
They want my mic off.
Someone who came out on stage and lied directly to the American people.
Who wrote that for you, Donnie boy?
And left things out that he said in an attempt to rewrite history.
Don Lemon is a twit.
Especially when it comes to Charlottesville. He's unhinged. It's embarrassing. I don't mean for us, the media, because he went after us.
You're an embarrassment. You know you're an embarrassment.
This is who we elected president of the United States.
You didn't elect him.
A man who is
you're
so
an American trash.
That he has to go after people who he deems to be his enemy, like an imaginary friend of a six-year-old.
You. His no, you're real. You're thought. Still on TV
it was
somehow.
Reason. It was
we're
devoid
all shocked,
of facts.
But
it
you're
was
still
devoid
real,
of
Don.
Wisdom. There was no gravitas.
No
there was
truth.
No sanity there. He was like
no
a
sanity.
Child blaming a sibling. On something else. He did it. I didn't do it. He certainly opened up the
Oh, but when Obama was president, it was all Bush's fault. Let's not forget about that.
By the rational people who are abandoning him in droves, meaning those business people, and the people in Washington now who are questioning his fitness.
Literally all lies. All lies.
And whether he is stable. A man backed into a corner, it
this
seems,
by circumstances. This is the unstable, unhinged America right here.
And beyond his understanding.
A rat that they put a suit and tie
that's
on.
That's the truth.
A human rat.
If you watch that speech as an American.
Look at CNN. Jake
to be
Tapper,
thinking, what
Anderson Cooper, Wolf Blitzer, Brian Stelter, George Costanza of News.
States.
These people are a joke.
This petty, this small, the person who's supposed to pull the country together. Certainly didn't happen there.
Just break it off. It's stunning. It's honestly stunning. It's like, how do you even cover this? How can I even cover this? How do I tell you that 2 plus 2 actually equals 4 after Don Lemon told you 2 plus 2 equals 5? How do I tell you that? How do I properly get that message to you? So let's go to another. CNN panel goes ballistic on Trump after Phoenix speech.
Don, listen, I mean, this was a Castro-esque speech in length. It was an astounding chain of lies tied together by lunatic asides by a man who obviously is mentally unstable. I mean, I'm not joking about it or being a smartass.
A Republican strategist, apparently, Rick Wilson. No, but this is the funniest thing. Trump literally said the fake news gets a bunch of Trump haters on the air just to confirm their bias, and then they do it right after he says it.
And tried to
it's unbelievable.
The fact
and then they say there's no truth to what he said, even though they did exactly what he said.
Part of this, he happened to forget that the actual impact of the speeches he gave wasn't to reprimand or to chastise the alt-right and the Nazis and the anti-Semites and the Klan, but in fact, to let them all nudge each other and elbow each other and go, hey, listen, he's still dog whistling. It's cool, guys. Keep up the fight. This is a guy who went out there tonight and behaved in a way, he alternated between being a whiny six-year-old who's had his Nintendo taken away.
No, that's what you sound
and,
like.
And between being the cranky
they're the
old
whiny six-year-olds who just had their country taken from them because we don't want to trash it anymore. Because we don't want to piss on it anymore.
And
so we're here cleaning the country that they've been pissing and crapping on, and they're ticked.
If people think that this guy is absolutely bat-crap crazy, they are mistaken.
Yeah. And she said the only possible, and this is on Twitter, the only possible defensible explanation for Trump's disgusting, unpresidential, narcissistic behavior would be early onset dementia.
Anna Navarro.
Maybe.
This woman is so
she's not the only one
disgusting.
Who's been saying. Some people have been saying that for months. I mean, but
March,
listen, we don't know
the
that.
The empire's on the run.
We'll be right back.
Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Got half an hour left, and we've got apparently just one sunset left here of the BuzzFeed mega specials at InfoWarsStore.com. We're already selling out a lot of these products that have been on sale. Mike OZX is out. Brain Force is close to selling out. Silver Bullet, close to selling out. Secret 12, close to selling out. And these are some of the biggest specials we've had. DNA Force is still 20% off right now. Silver Bullet, it's selling out because it's 66% off. Huge discounts there. Knockout, 50% off, also close to selling out. Secret 12, close to selling out, 55% off. So make sure you take advantage of that special 55% off before we're all out of Secret 12. Survival Shield X2, 55% off. BioTrue Selenium, 29% off. And with coupon code GOBLIN, we still have the GOBLIN special going right now. InfoWars Select Storable Food up to 50% off with coupon code GOBLIN. That's because with all the goblins running around, you might need some storable food when they try to invade. So go to InfoWarsStore.com. Again, the BuzzFeed Mega Specials, huge specials going on right now, up to 66% off. We're selling out of a lot of products. InfoWarsStore.com. This is how we launch operations to the next level. This is how we start new shows. This is how we hire new people. This is how we get new studios. All of it is from you going to InfoWarsStore.com, supporting this broadcast, and you get a great product at a great price in that circle of victory. So go to InfoWarsStore.com. BuzzFeed Mega Specials are almost over. Take advantage before we sell out, before the BuzzFeed Mega Special ends. All right. Let's get back to the trash at CNN, which is what CNN is. It's absolute trash. Now, apparently, the crew is telling me, this is the ultimate irony right here from Paul Joseph Watson at InfoWars.com. Headline, CNN's Don Lemon accuses Trump of trying to ignite a civil war. And I get really upset about this, and it's hard for me to control my temper because these people are trying to start a civil war. That's CNN. CNN is trying to destroy my country, my future, my prosperity. They want to piss on me, piss on my history, piss on my family. So CNN is the one trying to start a civil war. But then Don Lemon, the teleprompter reading gnome, garden gnome, news gnome, they're all gnomes. That's Brian Stelter. They're all a bunch of gnomes. They're the ones trying to incite a civil war, but they're going to try to say that that's Trump doing that. Now, apparently the crew is telling me that Perez Hilton, which is a, I guess you would say, what, Hollywood commentator? I don't even know what you would declare Perez Hilton as. I guess like a Hollywood journalist or something. But anyway, I think this is a troll, but Perez Hilton tweets out, I emailed Don Lemon thoughts about real Donald Trump's Phoenix speech tonight and happy to see he read them pretty much verbatim. So that's pretty funny. I didn't know Perez Hilton was the one of the writers for the Don Lemon show on CNN. To me, that feels like a total troll tweet. I think Perez Hilton is trolling Don Lemon, making fun of him because his show was such a joke. But I don't know. I don't follow Perez Hilton. I don't know anything. I'm just assuming Perez Hilton doesn't have an IQ of zero like Don Lemon has, but I could be wrong. I don't know Perez Hilton. I got to give Don Lemon credit, though. He finally got a nice tie. He did have a nice tie on last night. It's been tough for the Jake Tappers and the Don Lemons to find a tie that looks good with their wardrobe, but Don Lemon finally did it last night. He just needs a haircut, but so do I. Now, let's go back to the second half of this CNN panel bashing Trump. This CNN panel trying to start a civil war in America, that's CNN bashing Donald Trump. Here's the rest of that clip.
And she said the only possible, and this is on Twitter, the only possible defensible explanation for Trump's disgusting, unprecedented narcissistic
behavior. This is Anna Navarro, one of the most disgusting names in news.
Maybe.
Talks about her own private parts on air.
For months.
Tell me about that.
Listen, we don't know if that, but if he is... Has he shown that he's fit for office?
No.
Tell me, Don.
Absolutely not.
Tell me, Don Lemon.
Don, but to Bakari's point, this is something that, frankly, the majority of Americans who did not vote for this man understood just how unfit he was.
We'll see how that narrative holds up.
To be the occupant of the Oval Office. Tonight, I think, was historic on a couple of levels.
Oh, it was historic.
The first one is, yes,
your news coverage starting a civil war.
A lot of people are going to be thinking that he's not just completely unfit.
So, but here's the key. So this is what we're seeing, though. Just like Alex Jones talked about earlier today. They have been waiting. This is their new narrative. He's unfit. See, Russia didn't work. KKK, Nazis, none of it's working. Hacked, rigged, election. They've tried everything. Racist, a woman. They've tried everything. They've thrown everything against the wall. But this is the one they've been waiting on. Now this is what they're going on. He's mentally ill. So all of them, these are the mentally ill people. This is a panel of the most mentally ill people in America right here telling Trump he's mentally ill. Let's go back.
Are they proud that this is the leader of the Republican Party? Speaker Ryan, are you going to stand by this man? Mitch McConnell,
are
you going to
signaling
stand by
Speaker
this man?
Ryan.
Who has now insulted
signaling
you
Mitch
up
McConnell,
and down?
The swamp creatures.
Tonight, Don, America's enemies are laughing.
No.
And America,
you know what?
The country is weeping. And we need to do something about it.
Folks, I have been looking at news and covering politics for just over 5 years. And just in my 5 years of experience, I could outwit, outdebate, outmaneuver, outfact, out everything that entire panel plus 30 Don Lemons cloned working as a team with the fastest internet in the world. And I could beat all of them. In 5 years, that's where I've come because that's how pathetic these people are. That's how low these people are. That's how, I mean, it just goes on and on. But listen to what she says. She says our enemies are laughing at us tonight. Well, I've got proof of the contrary. Let's recall that President Trump recently upped his rhetoric against Venezuela, even suggesting a perhaps military intervention. Well, you know what Venezuela did in response? They sent hats to Trump's office, make Venezuela great again. The president of Venezuela now is reaching out to Trump, trying to get on the same page, perhaps even trying to embrace the ideology of nationalism. We'll see. But here's an example of Trump using his brinksmanship to invoke a response out of North Korea, bring North Korea to the table, have a dialogue, Venezuela, brings Venezuela to the table. Now Venezuela's having a dialogue with President Trump. Now Venezuela's trying to endear themselves to President Trump. And then you have this piece of dirt go on CNN and say our enemies are laughing at us. Really? What happened with the North Korea deal? Huh? Our enemies are laughing at us. Really? Really? What happened with China stopping North Korean ships from coming over and making a barter deal? What happened with that? Oh, that's right. Our enemies are laughing at us. Yes, yes. ISIS is laughing at us as we've liberated Mosul. Yes, our enemies are laughing at us. That's right. Our enemies weren't laughing at us when we had an open border and let them all come in. Our enemies weren't laughing at us when radical jihadis came here and murdered people, stabbed people, shot people, and then the news didn't even tell you it happened. No, our enemies weren't laughing then. Our enemies weren't laughing when we gave hundreds of millions of dollars to Iran. Our enemies weren't laughing after Operation Fast and Furious. Our enemies weren't laughing after we've been arming and funding terrorists in Syria, John McCain's people. No, our enemies haven't been laughing. No, now they're laughing because Trump is in and actually trying to stop them from doing all of this. Now they're laughing. And the funny thing is, everyone is actually laughing at CNN. We've got this other clip. A CNN reporter gets tear gassed. Just. Oh, but it's just not even worth it. That CNN is such a joke. So let's move on. Actually, I want to get to this real quick. Here's an example of what we're talking about, though. This is how liberal judges get away with murder, folks. Yes, you heard it right. This is how liberal judges get away with murder. Barcelona attack mastermind was supposed to be deported, but judges blocked it. Abdalakbai Esate, the imam thought to have acted as Barcelona's terror attack mastermind, should have been deported from Spain in 2014 after completing a prison sentence. But judges accepted this would breach his human rights. What? So he gets sent to jail, supposed to be deported because of the law. A liberal judge says he has to stay, it's his human right. And then he masterminds a terror attack in Barcelona that kills dozens of people, and still terror cells are thought to remain in Barcelona. This is what happens, folks. Just like liberal judges striking down a sanctuary city. It's okay. Now you've got all these illegal criminals running around, and then they rape somebody, and then they murder somebody. That's the judge. That's the judge. That's how liberal judges get away with murder, folks. They break the law. They let criminals infest your country. And it's all in the name of human rights. But see, you don't get a human right. You don't have the human right to have a country. You don't have the human right to decide who's in your society. You don't get that human right. That's all left to the liberal judge to decide. And then when he stands up for the criminal's human right, someone dies. And that's what it looks like happened in Barcelona. That's what happened to Kate Steinle. That's what's happening at sanctuary cities. So you heard me right. Put it in the bank. Tweet it out. Tell your friends and family. Liberal judges get away with murder. And this is how they do it. Now let's go to, speaking of getting away with murder, Hillary Clinton has become a mainstay in the news today. So I guess Hillary Clinton was feeling well today and her people reached out to the media, reached out to all their little cronies in the media, and they said, let's talk about Hillary a bunch today. She's feeling good. She might even be able to make a comment somewhere or even a public appearance. The swamp creature that's halfway to hell might actually be able to make an appearance today. So let's talk about her a lot and then maybe we can get an appearance or a statement from her later. So here's a clip from MSNBC, Hillary Clinton's new book. Her skin crawled during the debate with Trump.
You'll remember this when Donald Trump stood directly behind her while the two candidates debated at Washington University in St. Louis.
This is not okay, I thought. It was the second presidential debate, and Donald Trump was looming behind me.
Looming.
2 days before, the world heard him brag about groping women.
Brag.
Now we were on a small stage, and no matter where I walked, he followed me closely, staring at me, making faces.
She didn't write any of this.
It was incredibly
uncomfortable. Literally, she didn't write any of this.
He was literally breathing down my neck.
No, literally, you didn't write this.
My skin crawled. It was one of those moments where you wish you could hit pause and ask everyone watching, well, what would you do? Do you stay calm, keep smiling, and carry on as if he weren't repeatedly invading your space?
Like Trump does with all the attacks
on him? Or do you turn, look him in the eye, and say loudly and clearly, back up, you creep. Get away from me. I know you love to intimidate women, but you can't intimidate me, so back up. I chose option A. I kept my cool, aided by a lifetime of dealing with difficult men trying to throw me off.
I love that clip.
I did, however, grip the microphone extra hard. I wonder, though, whether I should have chosen option B. It certainly would have been better TV. Maybe I have overlearned the lesson of staying calm, biting my tongue, digging my fingernails into a clenched fist.
She writes a book.
Smiling all the while, determined to present a composed face to the world.
I'm going to be kind, Hillary Clinton. What an arrogant bitch. Here she is praising herself. I'm holding my tongue. I have restraint. You just wrote a book. I mean, what? I'm not a very opinionated person. I'm just up here screaming and shouting on the Alex Jones show, but I'm not very opinionated. No. But I love this. She says, I've always been dealing with difficult men trying to throw me off. What does that even mean? Did even Bill Clinton get sick of, you know, being in the sack with you? Is that what you're talking about? Are you saying this is why you became a, digging on some carpet? Or what's the deal here? What does that mean? Difficult men have been throwing her off. What is she talking about? It doesn't even make sense. And she doesn't explain it. She just always brings it back to how Trump's against women, how she was fighting the evil Trump. Trump was looming. Trump made her skin crawl. Of course, what's the actual reverse reality here? It's Hillary Clinton that makes the entire planet skin crawl. Hillary Clinton, the earth itself, when Hillary Clinton's bare flesh hits the earth itself, the earth's skin crawls with that demonic presence. When she opens her mouth and people listen all over the world, whether it be in Haiti, whether it be in Ukraine, United States, all these countries, Yemen, Libya, where she just plunders and rapes. No, when they hear the name Hillary Clinton, when they hear that shrill, arrogant voice, their skin crawls, the entire planet. And don't you worry. Oh, don't you worry. Just like Hitler is known as the most evil human ever. Hitler is widely known. He's widely denounced as one of the most evil individuals of all time. I predict you right next to that will be Hillary Clinton in 10 years. So understand that. Hillary Clinton will be right below Adolf Hitler in some of the most evil people in the history of the world. You better believe it, folks. You better believe it. So, but that'll be nice because we'll have the nice relics like Hillary Clinton's books and the Madame President cover of the Newsweek magazine. So we'll have all that. Hey, and by the way, you want to know the nature of the Democrats after Hillary Clinton's failed presidential campaign, a total loser, even after she stole it from Bernie, tried to steal it from Trump? You want to know what's happened to the Democrats since Hillary Clinton? Final notice, DNC under fire for sending fundraising pleas resembling collection letters. So folks, look at this. The Democrat National Committee sends out these letters to make it look like a final mortgage notice or a final phone bill or cable bill, or it's a, you have to open this and you need financial action. That's what they're trying to tell you. Folks, the Democrats are dead broke. They are dead broke. And again, all this campaign finance crap and funding these, you know, I'm sick of all of it, but the Republicans are literally flush with cash. Literally just flowing with money. So much money coming into the Republicans since Trump. But he makes their skin crawl. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton fails Democrat run for president. Democrats are so broke, so desperate, they have to send out letters pretending to be final mortgage notices in order to invoke some sort of financial action. Hillary Clinton killed the Democrats.
And now, the tip of the spear, leading the fight to take back the nation. It's Owen Schroyer. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Last segment here of The Alex Jones Show. Folks, Infowarsstore.com, BuzzFeed mega specials are going to come to an end soon. Make sure you get there before they come to an end. All kinds of great specials. DNA Force, 20% off. We're running out of that. Knockout 50% off, Secret 12, 55% off. We're running out of that quickly. Survival Shield X2, 55% off. Silver Bullet is 66% off. Now, I want to talk about the Silver Bullet real quick. I use this all the time for everything. Last week, I went out to Lake Travis a couple weekends ago. I ended up getting a little earache from water tubing. I put the Silver Bullet in my ear. The earache was gone the next day. Okay, so you can use it for an earache. This morning, I woke up, I had a little bit of a sore throat. My allergies have been bugging me. I took a little Silver Bullet, swallowed it, sore throat is gone. I wouldn't be yelling this much if I still had a sore throat. I mean, Silver Bullet does everything. I get blisters on my foot a lot from playing basketball and running so bad that there's literally raw flesh. And I get a thing of silver, I dip my foot in it, and it literally heals it the next day. So Silver Bullet can do everything. It's 66% off right now, folks. Go get five of these things. Go get five Silver Bullets, have this in your house, and you can use it for everything. It's perfect for helping your kids with cuts, abrasions, sore throats, toothaches, earaches, everything. It's 66% off right now. You cannot get a better deal on colloidal silver than you can at Infowarsstore.com right now. 66% off Silver Bullet. And don't forget about the entire silver pack, oral care pack, where you can get the toothbrush, the Super Blue toothpaste, the colloidal silver, and everything right now, Infowarsstore.com. Take advantage of these specials. Huge discounts right now going on. 50% off right now. The silver package. That's under $50 for the whole kit and caboodle, folks. Take advantage of these specials. You know, I'm trying to figure out what we can do as a country to win this battle and to ensure there's a future for all Americans that's prosperous for the Republic. And the answers are obviously very hard to come by. They're going to be very difficult. It's going to be tough to even figure it out. But there's one solution, folks. There's one thing that is easy, it's universal, and everyone can do it, and it's free. And that is prayer. And even if you're not a religious person, even if you don't believe in God, the power of prayer goes well beyond religion, folks. It's the old saying, I think, therefore I am. If we have a nation of people, if every American in this country, whether they liked Trump or not, whether they voted Trump or Clinton or it doesn't matter, all Americans, no matter what differences we had, if we could all agree to pray for each other, to pray for our future, to pray for peace, if we were all praying for these same things, whether there's a God out there listening or not, that is hearing these prayers and is going to listen and answer them and take care of us, if all of us are thinking this, if we're all consciously thinking peace, prosperity, a future for this country, a future for my family, getting along with my neighbor, no matter what the race, color, or creed is, getting along with my neighbor, no matter what their political affiliation is. If we're all praying for this, if we're all consciously thinking this, it manifests itself. It will naturally manifest itself because we're all on the same page psychologically. We're all on the same wavelength mentally that we can come together and make things better. Again, we don't have to disagree with everything. But we should all be able to agree on the future of this country, peacefully expressing ideas, and if we can pray together to have these things happen. That's why Trump had multiple prayers before his rally last night, folks. He gets it. He gets the power of prayer. So, folks, if you want to know what you can do for this country, just pray. Pray for your family. Pray for this country. Pray for our future. Pray for your family and friends. Thanks for tuning in. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.